Blog Talk Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, how y'all doing tonight? Y'all at the Just Jay and Gina Show. Tonight we're going to be having a discussion about are we being desensitized. It might seem like a pretty straightforward conversation, but this is a conversation we've had in a couple of different other venues. It got very lively. Until Gina makes it in here, I'm going to bring in Mama Donna.
Hey, Jarrett.
Hey, Mama Donna, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. Can't complain.
I can't complain, but it don't help. Well, I should say I do complain,
I mean,
and it don't
I
help.
I can complain a lot. You know me. I can complain a lot, but, you know, what y'all going to do about it?
I thought you was over there just leading that perfect life. Wasn't no sense of complaining about nothing.
I don't know. If I had a few $1 million, I'd be a perfect life. But right now, I'm struggling. Paycheck to paycheck.
And then you got me hitting you up for money all the time. I don't know how perfect that is.
I've been trying to figure you out, Jared, but you know what? That's what life be.
It does. It really does. You know, we talked about desensitization on the AM drive.
Yes, we did.
We had a pretty lively discussion.
Yes, we did. It went into a lot of different directions. Because I think people are desensitized to a lot of different things.
I think everything happens so fast. You know, right now, if I want some information, I don't have to go look at my encyclopedia. I don't have to go try to find that big, heavy dictionary, drag it out, then go looking through there and get segue 19 times before I get to the word I'm trying to find. Everything at the tip of my fingers. I don't even have to punch a button no more. I can just go ahead and talk into it, and I got it.
Yeah, and, you know, and because right now, desensitization, I mean, it feels like it's tripping over my tongue, like it's a tongue twister. But unfortunately, the way life is happening, that's not a tongue twister. You know, between police shootings, between school shootings, just any shootings, you know, and people not wanting to address the gun control issue because of their so-called Second Amendment rights. I don't know who has the Second Amendment right to have AR-15s or 2739 or whatever damn number they on, you know.
They do feel like a little bit overkill to go ahead and shoot a deer. But I think most people that do get those.
There's not going to be less There's no deer left to have after you shot a deer with all that.
No. Who would have thought they'd start selling elephant guns at Walmart? But the thing about it is a lot of times you see people shooting at targets. That center mass means that you're hitting their heart, even if it's a silhouette of a person. You know, they're center mass, and then a lot of them, they're starting to get real cheeky with it, and this aids to the desensitization. They have zombies out there. So now you're shooting zombies. You're not shooting actual people. You're shooting zombies on your targets.
Well, you know, some people like to think that it's because of games, you know, these people shooting and killing. You know, what's those games that people be playing in?
Oh, yeah. Call of Duty, Fortnite, all of them.
Yeah, all of them. You know, I've never played any of those games, you know. So that I can see that can be desensitizing, too, because especially for kids, because they don't have any concept that when you shoot somebody up like that, guess what? They don't still walk around and able to still shoot back.
No, you can't put a credit in and keep it moving and get back up, and there you go.
You know, and all I know is that all this violence that that is perpetrated in the United States is not perpetrated all over the world.
All over the world, it's global.
When it comes to gun violence.
But you know what?
Some of these countries,
I was just about to say, as far as, you know, desensitization goes, in a way, it can be good, too. It can have some good effects.
It could.
I imagine. Yeah, because I know when I clean fish in the springtime and the water is still cold and I get them fish home and all of them alive, I'm like, oh. And they don't want to die. They good. They like, just put us back in the water. We'll be all right. And I have to take that knife and start knocking those scales off of them. Then I got to go ahead and run the knife up through its gut. It's a bit of a little bit much for me. But as the year goes on, it gets real easy. I'm just going through it. I'm not even thinking about it. And if it was like that for me all the time, it would be something I would not or could not do. So in a way, it's good. It's like, imagine a surgeon, a doctor, who was always famous every time he was on his
vacation. Or even my job. Even my job.
Yes.
I have to sit up there and I have to put a boundary. Because you know what, a boundary is not just for you as the caregiver, but it's also for the patient or client, depending upon your setting or where you're taking care of somebody. If I'm in a hospital or a nursing home, they're a patient. If when they're at home, they're your client because they're paying for the service. So if I interchange between client and patient, it's because it depends upon where I'm at. But in any circumstance, you have to be careful if you don't set up the boundary because you can get too close to too wrapped up in your client's care, that you, if when they pass, it's just like somebody in your family passed. If you don't sit up there and put those boundaries up, which helps you, but also helps them, because sometimes when as a caregiver, people can get they can fall in love with you in a sense, and they don't want anybody else to take care of them. Which makes it very hard for you as a caregiver when you need time off. Because they don't want nobody else doing
the job. Right. And I guess that would be like an oversensitization. You know, you hire to come in and do a job, and then all of a sudden, if it's to the patient, they may start feeling a different way about it because you basically have your life in their hands. And if you're doing your job very well and, you know, going beyond and seeing the human that's in front of you, that right there is almost something that money cannot buy because you can go ahead and tell a person to do that and they don't have to do it that way.
No, they don't. And that's. I was just talking to a friend about this. I said, I'm very particular how I take care of my clients. So if somebody's coming in, I have to be able to trust you. That you're going to take care of them the way that I take care of them. I'm going to leave you detailed instructions. I don't want to come back in here and find out my client been eating everything that she ain't supposed to be eating because you didn't want to deal with her attitude and stuff like that.
And then you have to deal with the aftermath of trying to get your client back right.
True. She's on a low sodium diet. You can't be going out to Five Guys and getting her some fries that's like over 1,300 milligrams of sodium and some hot dog that's 800 milligrams of sodium. She's only allowed to have up to 1,500. You already got her at over 2,000.
You got me looking at my food now. I've been eating some stuff, and I don't really be thinking about no sodiums and all the rest of that type of jazz.
It has me looking, you know, and I had to change. And in essence, when I change her diet, I'm changing my diet for both of us.
Yeah. You know, as far as desensitization goes, you know, when me and my wife got together, there were some things I had to stop being so sensitive about because, you know, when you're sharing space with somebody, and they just, it's established they're going to be there all the time. Some of the things that you really protected and held dear, you have to go ahead and give some of those things up. And when you do see it, it's really not your thing no more to go ahead and do. So, yeah, I guess we have to deaden ourselves to that in order to go ahead and be fine with things. Mama Donna, I'm about to go ahead and squeeze an Epiphany host up in here, if you don't mind, so she can go ahead and help us out with this conversation. All right.
Yep, I'm muting myself right now.
Oh, you ain't got to mute yourself. You in here.
Well, hello
there.
I don't want to interrupt any conversation.
How y'all doing?
We here chit-chatting. What you doing?
Listening to y'all chit-chatting and watching my baby eat a strawberry Nutri-Grain bar because he loves them so much with the little fruit stuff in it.
Oh,
I thought you were going to say one of them strawberry biscuits that everybody. I thought you were going to say one of them strawberry biscuits that everybody's talking about from Popeyes.
Oh no, no, I don't mess with that stuff. No, I'm scared of that food. I really am. I really don't care for Popeyes. I prefer Church's fried okra. And that's pretty much it.
So you don't do chicken from neither one of them?
Not no more. I used to, but I get scared now because this stuff going on. You know, they feeding us any old kind of thing. You know, so I try to.
I got a question to ask you.
Sure.
We've been talking about desensitization. How have you seen desensitization going on in your life, and what aspects of your life have you seen it going on in? To give you a little bit of a warm-up for the question, you know, sometimes we have to give up things. We have to act like that they don't exist in order for us to go ahead and give them up. Talk to us about desensitization that you've seen in your life.
Ooh, okay, so to start with, this generation is very, very desensitized because of the technology and the exposure. Because of the technology, it allows for us to be exposed to everything. There is nothing sacred. There's nothing deleted. There's nothing private. Everything is put on Front Street. Everything, and they want it. Put on Front Street. So,
real sensitive stuff too, don't you?
It is. It is. As I said, nothing sacred. Now, me personally, I haven't been desensitized. I turn off the television. I don't even watch television until football season. Literally. Mm. Well, wait a minute. Now, I do watch. I watch my soap operas because I get my entertainment. But that's 2 hours out of the day, and that's it. The rest of the day, my TV is off. I don't listen to the news. I don't watch it. I go on the internet to post some stuff and get a little bit of entertainment from some silly videos or something. But all that violence and everything and that craziness with these different agendas that are being pushed and the twisted lies, you know, I stay away from it now because I pity some of these folks. Because they are in such a bad state of denial until they actually put themselves in that position and then they find out the truth. But by then, it's too late to turn back. And then they want to unalive themselves. you know, it's this technology, but this is biblical.
You talk about the
It is
very much so biblical. You know, you talked about the technology and the separation of the people. Do you think that the people not being as close as they used to be has caused a desensitization effect throughout the communities?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I do.
Not just the desensitization, but also it has made more people sensitive because they have this mentality, if it ain't on the internet, then it ain't true. This is how it is. And people still are people. We are all human. We have feelings. We want to express ourselves. And a lot of people don't want to. That's not me.
I'm sorry.
I hear you.
No problem.
I said, I'm sorry.
People still want to express themselves. We still have a heart. We still are human. We still bleed. We still got emotions and feelings and ideas, and we want to express ourselves. And a lot of people don't get that chance to because everybody has got their face in their phone or in some device or something else, and they don't want to take the time to spend with another person anymore. And if they are in a relationship, it's cuckoo for Cocoa Puff. You know,
so relationships stepped up as well.
Yeah. Everything that is going on is going against the laws of nature, the natural way of things. Okay? And that's where we are all messed up. What's wrong is celebrated. What's right is demonized. You know, and it's terrible. It's really, really bad. So This desensitized thing, one way I suggest you get away from it is just turn off your devices from time to time, okay? The radio, the phone, and if you have someone, give them that attention. You ain't going to die without it because we didn't always have this technology. We didn't always have these cell phones and these remote controls and all this other stuff. We lived just fine being called all the way downstairs to change the channel, okay?
Oh, we did.
We lived fine with beepers and telephone booths, okay? You had to wait for a person to actually call. You had to actually give somebody your phone number, okay?
You couldn't always just be instantly available.
Exactly, exactly.
If you had your answering machine, if you wanted to listen to it or not, that was up to you. You let them call.
That's how you screened your calls. And if you, look,
that's
if
you
didn't want
them
to talk, you took their phone off the hook and they got a literal, I don't even think this generation knows what a busy signal sounds like. Okay?
No, they
don't.
So, you know.
I just forgot.
We need, I didn't, too. But, you know, we really need to get back to dealing with one another and treating each other like we're supposed to. We are charged with caring for one another. That's the main goal. That's the purpose of us being here, getting to know our own soul and getting back to that highest light, you know what I mean, which is love. And that's it's absent. These days.
The love is lacking. I just said that
to Jared earlier, you know. I might not can quote you a lot of Bible verses, but I do know the main thing that comes from the Bible is love. And it's loving each other. And the way technology is set up today, it keeps us distant from each other. And you know, so when you don't have that interaction with others, it's easy to get desensitized to everything that's around us. You understand? Because you don't have that personal touch. COVID did not help this situation when we had to be locked down. But
COVID ain't the cause of it either.
But
no,
it's not. COVID, I said COVID didn't help this situation. I didn't say COVID was the blame.
I'll just back in what you said.
Okay. Because when we isolated each other, it was hard to get in that connection. And then when we still saw violent things happening on TV and we didn't have any choice but to be in our devices, and then people are concentrating on how, if they put a post, how many likes do they got, how many people interacting with their posts, and then people started trolling and attacking each other, and because they got anonymity and stuff like that. Mm. So desensitization, yes, it has come in so many different flavors, but it's hard for us to get out of what COVID put us through, the lockdown, and get back to interactions on a human level. I mean, look at it. We're on the phone. I have never met y'all face-to-face, but we're having a conversation.
Yeah, and that's
right,
but this
is a part of the problem,
well.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not in each other's presence talking to one another.
Mm-hmm. People don't know how to, you know, everybody is so angry these days.
Oh, Lord.
And you know why? Because they're so used to putting on these masks and presenting an act. Instead of knowing who they really are, they look in the mirror and don't even like what they see. They're God-given blessing of just who they actually are. They don't like it because this thing with all these wigs and this makeup and all this crap to cover up what you really look like, who you truly are. And I'm not just talking about your outward appearance. I'm talking about mind, body, and soul. They don't even understand what it is to be completely naked like that with themselves, okay? They don't want change. Right. They want it to look the same forever. They want to live looking like that forever, and it's not even about that. It's this outward.
And there's no way you can even look like that.
Yeah, they want to seek this outward validation to determine who they actually are. Man, let me tell you something. I love me. And it took me a long time to love me, not because of this technology, but because of who I was married to. I lost who I was, my individuality. But I got it back through prayer, okay, and my knowing that the Creator is right here with me, and I'm good. And, you know, people also don't understand the difference between desensitizing and discernment. Okay, they make a big mistake about that as well. You know, it's, man, look, y'all done tapped into something with me. It's
crazy.
Hey,
right,
that's
necessary because, you know what, because when we did this question on Clubhouse in the AM Drive, it went in all different directions. Because when people think desensitized, they think in desensitized from violence. But you're desensitized from people, things.
Mm-hmm.
So many different directions that this can go into, you know, even sometimes when you're in a relationship, you get desensitized to the abuse that you're receiving. You don't even recognize that it's abuse.
Yep.
Mm-mm.
You know, whether it's verbal, physical, or anything, you sit up there and you take on the responsibility of how somebody treats you badly. It was my fault. It was my fault.
Well, you might not even like it, but at the same time, you start to endure it better and better.
It's not because you endure it. It's just that you get desensitized to it. You start to take on responsibility on somebody else's behavior. Well, if I heated up the food just right, if I season it just right, if I clean the house just right, if I do this just right, he won't get mad. He won't do this. When in actuality, an abuser will find any excuse to beat you behind.
I didn't deal with physical abuse, but I dealt with verbal and mental abuse.
Yes.
And those scars actually are harder to heal. They're harder to get past. Because when you get in someone's head, it's really a whole different level of abuse. Physical abuse, you endure that pain, but once that pain is gone, you got the scars that heal over. But mentally, you can't erase someone's words once they are said to you. You can't erase the manipulation that is played on you. Like my husband used to tell me, he used to have me thinking I was ugly. I love a classic bun. I don't care what you got on. You can leave out the house with a trash bag on. You put a bun on, it still look good. And he would say things to me like, it takes courage to wear your hair away from your face like that. And
I
would just stop wearing my hair. Oh, yeah. When I started taking classes at Temple University, he would tell me I had a very little mind. I was not going to succeed. He saw no reason why I even went to go sign up for classes and stuff. I mean, just breaking me. I didn't look in the mirror at myself for like 2-3 years when he was alive, because I saw no need to. He was judge and jury, far as I was concerned. You know, so
that's not the first time we've heard that this week. Well, within the past 2 weeks, about people saying the same exact thing that you had just said right there.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the good aspects of desensitization that you guys could think of? We want to explore every end of this.
I don't see any good aspects as far as being desensitized.
When I see women deal with
babies, I haven't allowed myself to get to that point. I'm a very, very empathetic and caring individual. I am super, super sensitive to people's vibrations and their emotions and what they go through daily. So I don't really know what it feels like to be desensitized, except for when I was dealing with the abusive nature of my husband.
What about with the babies?
I care about
them. Because I've seen women be very disgusting with babies.
Oh, no, not with mine. He plays on my emotions. Let me tell you. About 2 weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, I had him here. I keep him almost every weekend. And I don't know what his issue was. I started thinking all kinds of crazy stuff because when he doesn't like his pamper changed, he don't like – I'm like, now he just started daycare. Are they messing with him or what? And I texted him, and he said he's fine. He has his choice of people he wants to change him. He snaps out on them too. And when I say he snaps, he started hollering and twisting and turning and crying. He cried so much, I started crying. But I'm like, baby, what's the matter? You know, I don't get frustrated.
Can't beat him, join him.
You know what I mean? Exactly. So I don't get desensitized. I've never been desensitized when it came down to the babies. I love them too.
You know
much.
What?
And I think they're amazing little people.
You know, my son had a hydro seal, and it caused his scrotum to swell up huge. And I'm down there in the doctor's office, and I'm really worried about what's going on because he's going down there for surgery. And then another woman had came in, looked like she had been through this several times, and she was just as cool as a cucumber. She had to ask me, she said, what are you down here for? I said, well, you know, he has a hydro seal and, you know, so on and so forth. And she said, oh, that's when his scrotum, his balls swelled up. I was like, yeah. And I was looking all worried, and then she said, oh, I'm down here because my child, we have to drain some water off his brain. And I was like, wow. And, you know, just seeing her with that calmness over something that heavy and huge, it helped me out quite a bit as far as perspective on looking at this. But I imagine that the first time she had to go through something like that, it wasn't that easy. Well, she just had, and it's probably very frightening. So the desensitization process helped her to go ahead and bring me some calm, and which I found out after the fact, after talking to her, I was really down there for a routine thing.
I don't call that desensitized. I call it being logical.
Mother?
It's a difference. Yeah, I don't think we mothers are never really desensitized with the issues with our children. We always feel for them, but we become logical about it because it has become the norm. It's a difference.
Right.
Me saying desensitizing
isn't
feeling anything. You can be logical and still be emotional, but you have more control over it. Being desensitized is just not affecting you at all. And to say a mother's desensitized towards the issues that her children have, especially when it comes down to their health and mental well-being.
When the doctor first came back and said such and such, this, that, and the other, that had to be heartbreaking to make you feel a certain type of way. But as time goes on and you start dealing with the child and the child is still developing and it makes you feel good, you start moving away from that very first point that you was. And maybe desensitization is a strong word to use, but I think it's accurate. The mother is not as sensitive to that condition that that child has as she was at first. And that's how she's able to go ahead and care for the child and give it the best treatment, because she's not sitting there squeamish every time she gets near the child.
You know what it is? I think you're looking to say you're desensitized, but what it is there's a calmness that comes over a mother when their child is in need. If they see their child is very excited or upset, there's a calmness that comes over, because we're going to keep you well. We're going to keep you calm so that we can get through this procedure. It does not help you for me to be going wiki-wacky crazy and you getting ready to face the surgery. It's not that we're desensitized. Right. There's another thing. I can't think of the word right now, but it's just something that comes across as a calmness that says my being upset is not going to help my child right now. It'll be the same way if it was my husband or anybody that I care about. I need to be in control to take control of this situation. And then once we get through this, then I can fall apart.
Then
right
you can
now,
go private corner. Exactly.
Right.
Yep.
Right now, you need me to be stable. You need me to – you're looking to me for direction. That's why I'm the matriarch. I'm the one that you look up to when any of these kind of situations come into focus.
There you go.
So not desensitized. And a parent can never be desensitized to what their child's aim, whether it be physical or mental. You're never desensitized.
Oh, I got one for you now. A child come running in screaming bloody murder. The first time that your child do that, it hits you a certain way. About the 20th, 30th time, it don't hit you that way no more. I'm sorry.
Let's be real, dear. The first time your child experiences pain, of course, you are going to react differently. But once you learn the skill that, hey, it's a learned skill, that's not
desensitizing. But it is.
No. You want to keep saying it's desensitized, not desensitized. Because I don't have an outward parent.
You're just not feeling at all.
Y'all not as sensitive as y'all was about it.
We always feel. We as parents will always feel. It's just we become logical. We start thinking first. We don't respond we don't react to the response that our system is giving it. Reaction and response are two different things. Okay? You're not desensitized. You still feel deep inside, just like Mama Donna just said. We think first, and then we handle the
situation. I'm not saying it's not a good thing. Because I even use the doctor as a example also. That it's the first cut. The last cut was like the first cut.
But you understand to say a doctor. Yes, doctors can't, like doctors cannot operate on their own family members. They cannot operate on their family members. But if you sit up there and you think about it, when is it? They really shouldn't. I didn't say that they don't. They really shouldn't, because they have a connection that's deeper than if just me walking and being their patient. They don't have that emotional connection to me. It is not advised that they sit up there and operate on their family member, because they have an emotional connection. Doesn't mean they can't do the job. Doesn't mean it's a hard, fast rule. But when you sit up there and say you try and you're operating on that person, and that is your mother, you understand, and that's your mother,
and
you want
to
make sure she lives.
And
you put that scalpel in your hand, and you make a mistake, and that could be your mother's death. Oh, no. You don't put yourself, a doctor would never put themselves in that kind of position on a loved one.
Right. That's right.
But that does not mean he's desensitized. And doctors are not desensitized. They just have a better way of hiding it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not desensitized to my client's pain, but they're not going to see me cry, because my crying is not going to help them through that process of that pain.
Right. You can
So I have to put the stoic face on. and I have to sit up there and remove myself from that situation and become mm-hmm. focused on them alone. There's mm-hmm. a difference. Desensitization to me is meaning that, hey, you've had so much tragedy around you that it doesn't even bother you anymore like that. A mother seeing her child hurt, she might not get up there and scream and holler, oh, my baby, oh, my baby. She might not be doing that. But she's doing that on the inside. But right now she's just going to let her child see, hey, mommy's got it. We're going to take care of it. I'm going to get you all fixed up. You're going to be okay. I'm going to wipe off the blood. You're okay. You're okay. Let's put a little this. You want to go get some ice cream? And the mother's sitting there doing all this calm and cool and collected with her child while she's screaming on the inside. What the hell happened? What if he gets an infection? What if he has to have surgery? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But that child ain't going to know what's going on in their mother's head.
That's right.
You know, I kind of like mm-hmm. it into the tornadoes here. When I seen the devastation that happened around here last week or the week before that, however long it's been, my jaw just dropped. If I seen the same areas and my jaw just dropped every time I seen them, it would make it unable for me to do certain things. But now I see mm-hmm. it, I kind of look at it, that's terrible. It's not hitting me like it was because I was kind of desensitized to it. Very traumatic when we were going through it. Very traumatic the day after and a couple of days after, but now it's not as traumatic. You know, we kind of like mourn for the people and grieve for the people, but now our hearts aren't there like that. It's just like,
that's
wow, look at that.
Right there.
Oh,
I mean,
but
you're desensitized.
A lot of people need that. It's fire.
When you get desensitized, you're talking about shootings. When's the first time you ever heard about school
shootings,
Calabasas?
Not just shooting.
Listen, I'm just giving this as an example, Jay. I'm giving it as an example, please. Thank you.
When you talked about Calabasas,
that was the first shooting of a school. How many mm-hmm. school shootings have we had since then? And in all the school shootings that we had,
I remember how big Calabasas was when it happened. The whole
another
nation
school
more.
Got shot up. Another school got shot up. Kids got killed. Okay, thoughts and prayers.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody
mm-hmm.
want to act.
Yeah.
Nobody want to do anything. Nobody want to attack the problem.
Don't even really care to.
And they don't care to. That's desensitization. That right there. When you if you're desensitized, you have apathy for a situation. It's apathy. You have no feeling for it. You can care less.
Well,
it's another shooting.
I can see that.
I mean, if you
said
if you talk about the turns of pain,
towards the other direction.
Huh?
I can see not having any feelings that would like cause us any harm, but apathy would be another thing, though.
You don't think
it
people being apathetic when it comes to these school shootings?
They still affect me. I can't even watch the whole story.
They
about
affect
it
me
because
too.
I can still.
Yeah, I guess so.
I picture in my head these children being hit, these teachers being hit with these bullets. I can't even imagine how it feels to be hit with a bullet. But I can't follow these stories because they bother me. I'm used to hearing about it, but it still bothers me. So I don't.
So you understand what I'm saying, Danielle? When you get up there with this here, these politicians. They're apathetic.
Yeah.
They don't care
mm-hmm.
because
yeah.
they're getting the money from the gun lobby. They don't care.
That's
they don't care how many kids get killed.
That's why they get into politics for the money.
Right.
That's it. That's why.
And I think that's the point that I was at also. This last one they went through.
A bunch of promises that sound real pretty and the words look pretty on paper and then they get an offer.
Right, and they wait for time to pass.
That's it. Okay. When they tell us we have all this other stuff, well, why are they still driving around in brand new Mercedes and wearing these Armani suits and all this other stuff? But we're broke, right? I don't, man.
Right. Well, the last one that happened, I had thought that the only reason why it like kind of stood out to me was because it was a young lady, and I was like, oh, that's different, and that let me know that I was way off in a certain type of way.
But you know what?
And then
I didn't
when
say
I did
that way. You know why? She was a young. She was a. She was a transgender. She was a transgender man. She was still thinking like a man. That was a man that went and shot up that school.
Mm-hmm.
See, it was still a white male that went and shot up a school. They even tried to make it about the transgender being a transgender woman, but she her thought process was of a white male.
Right.
So her being biologically female did not change the fact that that was a man that killed them children.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least the thought process was. But I don't want to get off into all that right now as far as that goes. Because that's a whole nother show right there.
Well, I'm going to say the politicians, especially on the right wing, they wanted to latch on to that as to say, oh, look at the transgender people killing people. But it wasn't that. My whole feeling is here. It was still a white person going up there shooting up a school over grievances that everybody else don't have nothing to do with.
Yeah.
Exactly. Once you clear away all the smoke screen and the rest of that, that's exactly what it was. Just another person going up there killing more children. They're going to the weakest, to the most vulnerable section of our society, and they're doing that right there.
Mm-hmm.
I think those kids have never had no beef
to the pen and everything like that. That's all that is that, you know, we are desensitized to people's pain. We are desensitized to people's hurting. That's what desensitization means to me. We are immune to how people think and feel. We care less. We could care less.
But there's also stages of desensitization. Like if you fully cared about something when you were on that road, it wouldn't be one day you go from this to that. It would be a slow, gradual thing, but you could still say that person is in the process of being desensitized by the things they're going or the things that they're experiencing.
Yes, and that's true, and that's why I hope that some point in time on the job that I do, I hope I never get to the point that I've been in some shape or face or form or fashion. I've always been in a job where I've been in the human service field, where I'm interacting with people and taking care of people for over 40 years. And that was always my main thing. If I ever get desensitized, that I could care less about the people I'm taking care of, it's time for me to stop doing that job.
I was just getting ready to say that. You don't need to be in that field no more.
When you don't need to be in it no more.
Care no more, and you just nothing touches you, then something is that you need to remove yourself. I went to doctor's one day, and the nurse that I went in as a walk-in, and I knew what was wrong with me. I just needed a prescription, and it was bothering me really, really bad. I could have went to the emergency room, but I would have been waiting there a ridiculous amount of time to get the same exact thing I could have got down at that clinic. And when I got in there, I was one of the first people in there. But what happened, I understand protocol. You take who's more important, but you don't just totally ignore the people that you think have a less severe case in there.
Right.
And
other people to come in either. Like, we're going to keep on shuffling you, and we get out of here at 9 o'clock tonight, so we'll get you out of here before then. Don't worry about it. That's too much.
Right. And that's when I went over to the nurse and I said, now look, I was one of the first ones in here, and these people are walking in too. Okay, and I need to be seen. I know what's going on with me, but I need to be seen so I can get out of here. You're talking about, I don't care. You don't care? Well, baby, you're in the wrong field. You don't need to be in the medical field at all if you don't care.
That was one of the things I had thought about too, Danielle.
But that's against the HIPAA law. You don't say anything. That's damaging. You just don't do that.
These doggone doctors forget about what they got into it for. And I've had to question doctors. Me and my wife would be down there, and they'd be all types of ways. And sometimes you have to slow them down. You're like, hey, I know you've dealt with this 100 times, 1,000 times, but this is our first time dealing with this. We have to humanize ourselves with these doctors because they start getting desensitized to our pain, to people's pain. I'm not saying they all do, but just like everything else, there can be bad apples in the bunch, and I've seen quite a few.
bad apples along with the good apples out there in that field. But a lot of that came from a person just being totally desensitized to the human being that's in front of them in their pain.
Some of them have a God complex as well, where they feel as though what you say to them, what you have to tell them doesn't matter because they know best, and that's not true. I don't think it's a desensitization on that part. I think they just feel so they are above you, and it don't matter what you say. What I studied, what I went to school for, that ain't never happened, and this and this and that. Just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean that it doesn't happen or it doesn't exist. You can't tell me how I'm feeling, okay? You can tell me what you've learned,
well, see,
what you've studied.
Part of that, Danielle, part of that is just here. But black people don't have pain. Black people don't really get this. Black people don't really do this. So when you have somebody's in the nursing field or a doctor field and they don't know or they desensitized to our pain and what we go through, yes, there is desensitization in that because they don't believe we have pain.
Right there.
That's
racism.
Yeah.
But it's also desensitization to the fact that they can see you pain and think that you can handle it better than they can. And they will give you a Tylenol where they will sit up there and give their counterpart a Vicodin. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's why we dodged the opium epidemic, too, because we weren't getting prescribed pain meds the same way that our counterparts were. They were getting the pain meds. When they walked in, they said, oh, you know, I feel a lot of pain. They were giving them to them. Us, you know, they were kind of questioning.
Oh, I got a hangnail. Let me give you a narcotic.
Yeah, we had dodged that bullet by them being like that with us, though. But that was not because they were trying to do us a favor. It's because they were trying to do us a disfavor.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So when you have, but racism brings desensitization, to me.
Oh, it definitely does.
They go hand in hand.
Take a whip and put it on another man's back with all his might. And he can't imagine himself being in that same position. Oh, yeah. Definitely so.
Well, how can a man sit up there? How can a man couple with a woman who he thinks is an animal?
Exactly. But it isn't just it isn't just our counterparts. I have switched my gynecologist because of the black woman that I had being so rough with me. Like, what is wrong with you?
I've heard about that. That is crazy.
Shoving that thing up inside me like that, lady. I mean, damn. And I'm like,
no
what is the matter with me? And she was just like really nonchalant when I was complaining to her. And then I went and I complained to somebody higher up because I said, I didn't appreciate that. I really didn't. I was about 7 months pregnant. And I got a really bad splinter in my finger. And I'm talking about it went all up underneath of my nail and way down to where the cuticle is. Go to the emergency room to get it removed. Okay, you can clearly see I'm with child. The guy comes in. He don't put nothing. You know, they have all kinds of stuff to numb you now. You know, they don't have to even stick you. They have a spray they can numb you with, something they can rub on you. He grabs my finger and he takes this tool and he jams it up under my finger with no warning, no nothing. I thought I was going to go in labor and hurt so bad. I laid his ass out about that. I said, what is the matter with you? How'd you like me to take one of these tools and stick it in you like that? And he just went, he wouldn't let my finger go. He went to jab it again. I said, if you stick me with this thing one more time, I'll slap the shit out of you. And I was in tears after that. Okay.
Yeah, you got assaulted.
Man, that is hard. And then got a bill for $500. I'm like, some of these people are crazy. They are really crazy.
Me and my
crazy
wife didn't have that with these doctors. I said, me and my wife can head out about these doctors because these doctors will go ahead and be a certain way with you. My thing is, a doctor needs to be inflicted with whatever field he wants to go in. He needs to be afflicted with that disease for a certain period of time so he'll know what that disease is and he won't forget down the line once he didn't got jaded and not feeling what the patient is feeling and uncaring about what the patient is feeling.
Yeah, it's horrible. It really is. But back then I really wasn't aware of the fact that they believed that we could endure the pain without any anesthetic or consultation or anything. Just go right in and do what has to be done and she'll be all right.
The doctor that came up with gynecological, a lot of different surgeries and procedures, performed them on slaves without anesthesia.
Yeah, with no pain reliever or nothing. No, man, I can't even in the depths of my heart, I can't fathom what that must be like, going through something like that. Ooh,
I can't either, but I had something similar, something close to that kind of situation, Danielle. I had a situation where I was getting a tooth pulled, and the doctor thought he gave me Novocaine, and he started pulling, but I was in so much pain and so much shock, I couldn't even say nothing. He pulled my tooth, and all I did was grip the chair.
Ooh.
I didn't scream. I didn't holler. He said, "Why didn't you tell me?" I said, "What could I do? I just was stunned."
It's
so you see, it can happen. It can happen.
Yeah.
But if it's on purpose and it's done for your research on black people's bodies, you know, that's why you got so many different things that happen over the years with syphilis research and inflicting black men with syphilis and trying to see how long it takes them to die.
Yeah. Told that lie to them men. Oh, horrible. Horrible.
All
they
right,
just
Danielle,
now.
I'll tell you what.
What is it? Huh?
We've been in here chit-chatting. I'm going to bring in one other person in here. I'm going to set you on the couch. I'm going to bring you back out so you can do some poetry. We got to clean our palate out before we start messing around with any poetry today.
Go ahead.
All right. Be with you in just a moment. All right, who do we have on the telephone?
Hey, it's Lady A.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, I'm just crawling here in my seat listening to the conversation.
Did you like
What you've been hearing so far?
Well, I have to say, being a registered nurse and working in the hospital all those years, that I saw a lot of indifference and prejudice within the walls of my own hospital. I have to say also that it is not it is prejudice, but it's not a matter of color. There's prejudice against a great many people that I saw on a daily basis. It made me sick. Prejudice towards people, alcoholics, drug addicts, single mothers, people, indigenous people were the worst afflicted. But you have, I'm ashamed to say that there are nurses out there and doctors who are indifferent and shouldn't be in the profession. We're taught from the very beginning that everyone deserves to be treated exactly the same as you would want yourself to be treated or a loved one of yours. It's unfortunate that this is going on, but it is not exclusively a color issue at all. It's within the ranks of humankind. You have.
Yeah, I know. In Canada, racism looks a little bit different than it does down here. As far as who's
the prejudice is prejudice, eh? Like for us, the population is different as well, but our indigenous people are treated horribly, and they're treated with disrespect. And but most of all, you see the prejudice. I mean, for drug addicts, they come in, they're sick, they need to have, they're infected, there are all kinds of things that go on, and they're treated entirely different than other people. There are people really show their disrespect and their disdain for this person who was sick. I'll give you one example. We had a young girl who was very sick and had been with us for probably in total about 6 weeks because she had this horrible, terrible infection. And anyways, she had a PIC line. In a PIC line, there's a certain protocol of how you access it and how you de-access it. And whenever she had her antibiotics via this PIC line, they would make her wait to get de-access because she wanted to go out and smoke. So they'd make her wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. And she wasn't actually my patient, but she's on our floor. I probably, every evening that I worked, I de-accessed her. Go in and shoot the shit a little bit, get her de-access, and off she'd go. And then when she was leaving, when she was discharged, I spoke to her briefly about her situation and her addiction and my hopes for her to find a way to stay on the straight and narrow type of thing, find the help that she needed to stay off the drugs. And she left the next day. I was off for a couple of days. I came back to work, and there was a note in my mailbox for me from her. And like I said, she was never my patient, but I did look after her in the sense where I go into the access her. And one of the things that she did say was she thanked me for treating her like a human being. She thanked me for affording her the respect as a human being. And that's what we're there for. And I'm ashamed to say that there are a lot of nurses and doctors, too, who treat patients indifferently or with ignorance. And I'm sorry that, Daniela, you had to experience that and whoever else has experienced that, but there's a lot more good than there are bad. And I think, too, that their status gets to their head and they think that they're all that in a bag of chips. And that's not fair either. But there are a lot of good nurses out there.
You know, we even have jerks among poets, you know.
yeah.
Just to keep it a buck. You know, the police officers, you know, they're going to be jerks off in there. But the whole thing about it, a lot of times when those are the most predominant voices that are going on there, a lot of times the person who's more quiet and more meek, when they meet a personality like that, they will fold in front of that personality. They may grumble on the inside, but they will go ahead and fold before that personality so that even though that person may be in a minority, they have a stronger voice than a person who is in a majority with a bunch of people who would prefer to not have confrontation and to be quiet. And that's what causes the problem right there. So those people that really care, they end up having to deaden themselves, or they have to go ahead and speak secretly to the patients in order to go ahead and try to do damage control because their conscience has been bothered by what they've seen happen to other people at the hands of these people who are more louder and boisterous than a person who would not be of that personality type.
Well, yeah, but you know what? I guess I'm in the minority of all the way around in my life because I could never stand by and watch the underdog be taken advantage of. I just can't. I could tell you all kinds of stories, unfortunately. And, you know, I don't care who you are, what background you have, you have to be able to speak up for yourself, number one, and you have to be able to be your own advocate when you're in, and I encourage all of you, if you're in a situation in a hospital or clinic or wherever, the doctor's office, you have to be your own advocate. You have to take control and find out what you need to find out. Don't let anybody bully you. And tell them straight up.
I think you said it and done, though.
Sure.
I mean, it's the same way like if you're in the store and then somebody has started, did something that didn't agree with you and you say something about it. And that person look at you like they're going to just tear your ass up. You liable not to say as much to that person than a person who would just be sitting there with soulful, sorry eyes. And it may not always look that way. It could be this person is just a doctor. Me and my wife has had a doctor go ahead and block us in a room. The waiting room was on the outside, and I went to grab for the door, and this was a woman. And I said, "You're in the way of the door." She said, "I'm not in the way of the door." I said, "You're in the way of the door." She said, "I'm not in the way of the door." So I took the door, and I hit it into her foot, and she didn't want to move. We had to go ahead and say, like, "Hey, this woman is trying to hold us up in here." We had to end up I wrote a letter to the board. I wrote a beautiful letter to the board about everything that happened right there. If it had been a different situation or whatever, might not have said anything. Might have, you know, tried to say the bare minimum to get past it. This woman was imposing.
Yeah.
And I'm a man. I'm a decent-sized man. But I was a black man also. And she was kind of trying to use that against me as well. So she had a couple of things that could have went ahead and stifled the tongue. So it's not as easy as just a person being like, no, you got to man up and you got to do it. Everybody's personality and nature does not want to do that.
No, they don't. But still, to the degree of your own comfort, you have to be your own advocate. You know, we here's what happens, I feel. It's just my opinion. That we look at this guy that's got MD or this woman that has MD after her name, and we think they're God, and they're not. Not by a long shot. And when you see them, like I saw them on the floor and stuff, when they're asking the nursing staff what's happening with this particular patient, what's going on, what has happened yesterday, what happened last night, or you have something that you see suddenly and you call them and tell them what's going on, we're the eyes and the ears of that doctor. And a lot of them suffer from the God complex. The difference between a doctor and God is God knows he's not a doctor. And so you have that superpower bullshit that they carry around with them, and they treat people like dirt. And they shouldn't be.
They could be very intimidating, too.
And they're intimidating.
So a person who's used to not being confrontational, the thing is, they're just educated guesses. They would hope that a person would just deal with reason.
Well,
I understand what you're saying when you say you have to advocate.
They feel they have to be confrontational. Then it could be a major problem because that's not their strong suit. And a person who is aggressive and they know that that's not a person's strong suit, they will go to that every time. They will be triumphant because they don't even have to do much. If you heard it in the recording, you wouldn't even be able to go ahead and tell that this person was intimidating that person because they knew exactly how to go ahead and push those buttons to get that person up off of them or to go ahead and apply pressure on that person.
Standing up for what's right does not make you a hero because you are the underdog yourself.
What are you talking about?
You do that. I've done it plenty of times where I've stood alone in for what's right and gotten shit for it and gotten
But all right, that's you. See, you're already being indifferent to how a person who is meeker and milder than you would not be afforded that same luxury. We're talking about people overall in general. We're not talking about just one person.
Well, I'm saying,
I was in the room with that woman. I could have overpowered that woman, but it was a lot of devices that were there that prevented me from going ahead and doing that.
Oh, you're not alone. There's a lot of people that feel the same way as you. Most people feel the same way as you. Well, I'm saying sometimes we have to find our voice and speak out against it, you know?
Hello?
All right. We have a new person up in here. Hello?
Can y'all hear me, Jared?
Who is that?
Jared.
Yes, I can hear you now.
All right, because I was trying to say, you know, I understand. What's your name again? I forgot it. I'm sorry.
Lady
Andrea.
A.
Yeah.
Huh?
Andrea.
I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, but I also understand what Jay's saying. And what we're saying, especially when you're people of color, is not that easy to voice out and be an advocate for yourself because of the position you've been placed in society. And when you sit there and you question, you get belittled, and you're not going to get the service that you are owed, that you deserve.
because they're going to
pounce
you. I
understand that, but when will it, when, if you don't stand up and you don't make a noise, then nothing changes. And you need
yes,
to change
that's easy,
that.
But that's easy from, I don't want to make an assumption, but are you a woman of color? Are you Caucasian?
No,
because
I'm white Irish, yeah.
Okay, so if you're Caucasian, it's easy to say, when do you stand up for yourself? Black people have been standing up for themselves for 400 years, but that does not mean that we still get treated right.
No.
You know, we've been trying to do this for
400
years.
I don't pretend to know what you've been through at all.
Right, so I think that's what
I think
yes, I advocate for myself as a black woman, but my advocacy will not go as far as if a white woman did it.
Well, I've been up against some hard places, too, and got punished for it as well.
And I'm not,
so.
And understand this here, nobody's discounting that. But your experience is going to always be different from our experience.
Absolutely.
And I applaud that when you see injustices that you stand up for it. Because that's what we need. We need allies.
Yeah.
But understand, allyship does not mean kinship. Because you don't have the same troubles and tribulations that we have. I could advocate for myself all day. I remember going into a doctor's office. He was like 80 years old. He told me, and I was around 50 at the time, he told me I did not need to get a mammogram. That was the first and last time I ever saw him.
Mm.
Because, you know, you're not going to take care of me, and I know that. I advocate for myself until I found me a doctor that suited my needs until he went on retirement and I cried like a baby. But you know what? Well, he sat down and he talked to me and he explained what was going on with me. And he left his practice to a man that's just the same as he was. Because I'm not one of those fast-track persons. You're not going to come and check me out with your back to me while you're typing in a computer. How are you doing? You're not even looking at me. You will not be my doctor for long.
There's
some people don't have that withdrawal to be able to stand up in the face of authority. So we got to be in respect for everybody's in their place.
I understand what you're saying, and I respect you all. I love you guys. I love you. You've been good to me. You've accepted my poetry, me as a friend. And, you know, I appreciate human beings. And that's how I look at life. And I know it sounds simplistic, and all of the rest of it, but I guess I believe there is a way to combat this. There is a way to stop it. There has to be. It can't continue this way.
There's always a way, but you know what? One person, your being here is an acceptance of the fact that you're in a space that everybody accepts you for who you are, and I guess in the same way, we're just asking for the same thing. You can have an understanding, but sometimes you got to meet people where they're at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Because when you have your perspective and you can't hear the other person's perspective because all you see is your perspective, it makes it hard for us to get to where you wanted to go to because I have that hope too. But we both have to be able to hear each other.
Absolutely.
And give each other grace.
All right. Hey, lady, hey, we appreciate you coming on. If you go ahead and give us a minute, we're about to go ahead and get into the poetry in just a moment.
Okay.
We appreciate you stopping through. But go ahead and hold on. We're going to get into some poetry. Get your poems ready.
Okay.
All right. We have – let me go ahead and do this right quick before I introduce this next person who's come up. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Epiphany Radio. This is the For Real Network, sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average? And you can be raw. All right. The next person that's coming in needs no introduction. I'm going to do a drum roll for this rascal anyway. It's Gina Storm.
Hey, Gina.
I was on the move.
Hey, y'all.
Don't hate us.
No, I have to. So I'm gonna be honest with you. I was struggling.
Don't start now.
Oh no, I got to. I'm out here struggling, and I'm like, I don't even know why they don't hear me. That's okay.
How you doing?
I love y'all every single day. Hey, Jay.
How are you?
But don't worry, Gina. There was a point in time I was trying to talk and nobody heard me either.
I had that point in time today.
Look at that part. I love y'all. So here's my whole thing. It was so crazy because Luna was acting like a donkey. Because she was like, Mom, where's my treat? My treat. So she doesn't meow. She says, Mom, when she wants something. You know what my daughter said? Mom, do you know she's calling you? I said, I heard her. But I don't care.
You do care. Quit playing.
She's a cat and I'm a people. No, she's trying to be the boss of me.
Look at me, I'm tough.
Have that.
Gina has the most human cat there is. And she be talking to Luna like that's her little human baby.
She's
amazing.
She's a
cat
person. Luna is Gina. I swear we the same chick. I'm like, this heifer knows she make me sick. But I'm here, y'all.
Oh, my God. That's the most important part.
That makes sense. It does. It works.
Sweet. I'm off of work.
We have accountability. And there are things that we need to do as people and as humans and poets. And I know that Jay, and I'm sorry, had to start this off without me. But I had so much going on in my personal life that I was just like, oh, my God.
No, don't be like that, man.
No. I have to be. I feel so bad. Because my thought is this. Here's the thing. When we're on the Clubhouse app, you're always the problem child. And look at me. Being the problem child.
Hey. Stay in your lane. That's my lane. I've honed that lane over the years. That's my lane.
Please believe I'm not picking your torch up, sir. I'm just letting people know what took place. My bad.
All right, but you didn't have to worry about it because that's why I was a pinch hitter for you until you got here.
Yes.
Now you can take over.
Mama Donna, I appreciate you on so many levels. So by me being here now, all I can say is we were all accountable. There are things that we have to do in this community to make sure that other people know that they're safe and their voice is necessary and they'll be heard. Because we were talking about, like, in healthcare, Mama Donna is a live-in provider for her clients, and I have been profoundly disabled through a lot of my adult life. So we put ourselves, or we are either designated to situations in which we have to rely on other people to take care of us. And when we're in those positions, we have to understand and appreciate that we may not always be heard, because sometimes the voice that is being heard is that of our provider and not ourselves. So I've been an advocate for myself for a very long time, and I understand how that's set up. So if there's anything that I can do to make a situation more accessible or understood by the general public, I'm going to do my due diligence.
All right. That's what I'm talking about right there. Come in with a message. We've been talking about this topic here. What do you know about this topic here? Desensitization.
I was watching my grandchildren, and this is funny, and I don't want to even, I don't want to downplay it by any means. I was watching my grandchildren. We were watching the Flintstones and Tom and Jerry. So when we were watching the Flintstones, it was almost like women had no voice. And I felt like, as a woman, I was sent back to the 40s or the 50s, where you had to ask permission from your spouse to do this, that, or the third. And I was thinking, wait, what? But I didn't want to alarm my grandchildren to the fact that that was unacceptable. I wanted to see their genuine reaction. So I watched my two granddaughters and my grandson watch the Flintstones. And Wilma and Betty wanted to go and see a actor. His name was Stony Rock. I want to say he was Rock Hudson in real life. And they didn't want Barney and Fred to believe that they were, you know, going to be in a position where they were going to be idolizing this other man over their spouse. And they wanted to dumb it down. But Fred and Barney also wanted to be extras in his movie. It was so perplexing to me as a grandparent to see my grandchildren trying to choose a side. And all I could think was, have we been so desensitized that we believe that there are gender roles that are passed down through the ranks and the legacy in a family to the point where no matter how strong you see male role models and male role models separately, that you still put yourself in a position where you'll feel like Rock Hudson was more important than Betty or Wilma. And to me, I couldn't intercede because, you know, it's 2023 and I've lived through some stuff. But it was interesting to me on the outside looking in how they saw that. And all I could say to myself was, wow.
I feel you, lady. The kids are like a little lab. And we can watch them go through their experiences of life and see where we're at, get a perspective of where we're at as far as our growth and what we went from and what we thought was normal at one time to now we're like, no, that's not normal. There are some people that are in the house. You would have to press 1 if you want to go ahead and spit on the microphone. That's part of the reason why we have not got around to you. We do have a call that we're about to bring in now. All right. Caller, how are you?
I'm doing just fine, 10-4. What's up? How y'all doing?
I recognize this voice right here. Gina, do you recognize our caller?
No complaints, none at all.
Do y'all recognize me?
Automatic, charismatic.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
You're the freestyle king, and you called me the queen, so we're happy to have you in queue.
Yeah. Well, when are we going, Miss Lady, when are we going to work together?
Y'all can do that tonight. Y'all can get that cipher going.
Yeah. I you know what? And I'm going to tell you something. I've listened to Gina for years. It's a bit, feel like it's been a long time, you know. And You know, I seen her collab with my homie, God rest his soul, and they were, like, on fire. I mean, he said it, like, you know, some people collab, but they don't vibe well. They vibe well. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like if you playing spades or something, and your partner, you know your partner. You know a card to put down. You know?
Right. It's almost like being inside your hand, inside your head, and vice versa.
I would never be able to vibe like my man. You know? But I will always love to work with him.
Right. Brother, we've been asking people about desensitization. We had this shooting that happened with a young lady. And when I had heard about it, the most I really thought about it was, it was a woman? Oh, get out of here. You know, it was almost like it was, I cared deeply about that stuff, but I've heard it so many times. Then I had to do a little bit of research on it to go ahead and see what was going on as far as, like, how many have there been. And it was in the hundreds per year.
Wow.
People don't really care about that like that anymore. We've seen it so much that we actually just go blah.
Yeah.
And if it happened to us, it'd be one of the most devastating things that happened to our kids. We know that our kids would be scarred for life, so on and so forth. But we're hearing this happening to other people, and it's not really impacting us like I feel that it should be anymore. It's like Dave Chappelle has said, you know, breaking news is like the space shuttle exploding. You know, we all remember, we have a memory of that, of watching this shuttle go up, and then boom, whoa. Then they telling us, hey, it just blew up. And, you know, we felt a certain type of way about that, but it seemed like that's going off every 10, 15 minutes. A space shuttle is exploding.
And the sad part is, it's like it's normal. You know what I mean? And what's been chosen to be normal, and all these negative stages. Like, I lived in a dangerous neighborhood, you know, and shooting was normal. I didn't like it. And it's almost like, oh, well, they just shooting. You get to a point where you go domicile to it. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, well, you know, they're fighting, two girls fighting, oh, well. But it's like, once people start getting used to it, a lot of times people won't address it because that normalcy. And see, for me, we had leaders that seen some things that weren't right, that was called normal, but they will fight against it. And the ancestors will fight against what was considered normal. And that's what we need to do. We can't normal anything that is degrading our own community. You know, and, you know.
But in the way, bro, we can't even, like, really care like we used to care. If you care like you used to care, it could cause problems. If you seen your neighbor's child out there doing something that could hurt them, you say, hey, cut that out. I'm going to tell your mom on you. By the time you get to your house, you got to fight the whole block.
You know what? Because the village is taken away. Especially for black people, black people heritage is a village. The heritage comes from the village. And back in the day, if you did something with Miss Rose, you could get from the whole neighborhood. So kids weren't doing certain things. I had a conversation with my mother. It's like, you know, we did certain things, but we wouldn't do certain things in front of grown-ups.
We had limits. If we was out there cussing, man, if we seen an adult walking past, we stopped. When they went on by, we started cussing again.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Nah, it's not even no limits. You know what I mean? It's like,
no.
And that's being normal. Normal size.
I remember the first time I seen a kid just cussing really hard and was looking at me for my expression to see if I was going to have an expression. Like, oh, man, dude just cussed like it wasn't nobody's business. And I was just looking like, all right. And he started cussing some more, and I caught him peeking out the corner of his eye. I'm like, dude, I'm about to go. I'm on my way.
Well, you know,
even doing that can be very dangerous.
I had one of my mothers, that type of parent, a grandparent, that smack your mouth, you know, old school. You bet.
Mm-hmm.
What? Pow! Yeah. You feel all that. And sometimes you know how much the pain was that you say, oh, no, I ain't going to try it. I ain't going to try
it. And you know what? Even with that generation, because I came in on that generation right there, right when that generation had started just transitioning over, you could catch one. But what these younger kids started doing was that, you know, you go ahead and have conversations with them and this, that, and the other. But it was like bringing it down to their eye level. And when it got to the eye level, it was up to them to decide whether they wanted to go by that or if they felt that they had a strong enough hand to go ahead and go against you. And the divide was stuck.
My father told me this. I was young. You know, any time, he said, do you think, is it time? And basically saying, do you think you can whip my ass? My dad would say, is it time? And as a boy, I'm going to say no. I know I couldn't whip my dad's ass. And I wouldn't even try it because of the respect that I have for my father, whether if I could or not. You know?
That wasn't even the point of the matter. I tell you what, brother, we're going to go ahead and get you back on the couch, and we're about to get ready to start getting into this poetry. It was good chit-chatting with you.
Oh, well, let's go do something.
We're going to have to sit you on the couch first, and then you got to go ahead and swing around in the rotation. It's going to go pretty quick.
All right, brother.
We appreciate you, man. Yes, sir. All right. Mama Donna, Gina, y'all still there?
Here, Jay.
I'm
horrible. I hate the fact that I'm allergic to life, but I'm here with y'all.
All right, as long as you're living. I mean, that's the most important part, really. Don't forget about that.
That's the only way you can be allergic to life if you're living.
Absolutely. I did not die.
All right, if these are our goals, let's achieve them. All right. Do you mind doing a plug for Epiphany and Rawlings?
Why be ordinary when you can be raw? Ladies and gentlemen, we are here at the Epiphany Universe. This is the Jess J and Gina Storm show on Saturday night. Every other Saturday, we are here on the Epiphany Network. And there's no reason for you to be ordinary when you can be raw. We're sponsored by Rawlings, and that's why we're here. We're giving thanks to Larry Maddox for his thought and his inspiration, as well as this network. And Rawlings is the jewelry that you must know, love, and support as you wear his jewelry. There's no reason for you to be ordinary when you can be raw. And that's why we're here tonight. Every other Saturday night, you can find myself and Jay on the Epiphany Universe Network, and we're not ordinary. We are raw.
All right. Appreciate that. Danielle, we're about to come to you. Have your poem ready.
I'm ready. I've been ready.
With that being said, we appreciate your patience, and the mic is yours.
Thank you. We never laid together, but my desire for him is strong. And I knew he felt my body called to him when he came to my door and said, I want you to. There's nothing more I want to do than please every part of you. All you need to do is allow my love to awaken life inside that lay dormant, nurture you, and replenish waters to flow through as never before, over and over, and give abundantly. Hold you in my peace while having long conversations under the moonlight as I place kisses where it's touching your body. I love a gentle side that expresses. So I told him, my soul is already naked, and I just want to sit face to face with you. My legs on top of your legs, fingers intertwined, and just getting lost in the novel of you behind your windows. How could I resist when my everything is drawn to him? We never lay together, but my desire for him is strong. Funny how the rain is falling, and I still want to walk on the beach with him in it. But I'll settle for just a moment in time anywhere in it with him. Because his presence is precious, and I know he values me too. I'm a willing love, and he's my safe space of trust. He's my beautiful addiction, because his energy whispers to the heart of my art, and from there, I create, and that's that piece.
I had started taking notes on this piece, and I said, no, you don't, because I was missing the things that were going on in here. This was a very delicate poem. This was a poem that was not quite done in the message, in the way of the message it was given. It was done very warmly, but there were a lot of cold spots in here, desolate spots. This is very nice. Gina.
Thank you.
So I have been in love and had my heart broken. And when you hear the two put together in one piece, it lets you tap into the love that you gave to one who was deserving versus the love that you gave to one who could not reciprocate. And when you hear poetry like that, all you can do is pause, breathe, absorb, and appreciate. And I've been in both of those spots and places when it comes to love. I've done everything that I could, and I had nothing left. And I gave all that I could to someone who deserved it. But either way, whether or not the love lasts was neither here nor there. But the reality is, I acknowledged it. No matter how long it absolutely sis. I got that. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, Madonna.
I was just sitting here and I was like, that resonated so much with me. You know, the complexities of relationships, you know, wanting and not receiving and then receiving and not wanting is the juxtaposition of it all. You know, it could be confusing. You can be so many different emotions come up within that piece, and I was just sitting back and reflecting on it. I think that was a beautiful piece. I think it was well written. I think it gets you to thinking, and I think in any art form, that's what you want somebody to think.
Thank
think
you.
About
God,
what you just wrote.
got my grandson here and his little noise behind his scene, so y'all have to excuse me. But thank you, everybody, for your commentary on my piece.
No problem. One day he'll grow to be your greatest critic.
We also speak regret. It's all good.
It's all right.
Oh, before you go, Danielle, what do you have?
Oh, okay. Well, every Wednesday night, I am one half host of the Erotic Love Zone, where I co-host with my sexy, sultry voice diva, Miss VIP. Now, we don't have a topic for y'all yet, but you know how we like to do. We like to drop my phone. Y'all still there?
Oh, yeah. We ain't going nowhere. Not that easy.
Okay. Well, we like to tease y'all with the topic, but, you know, when we come up with something, we sure you're going to love it. If you like, I give the rundown for the week for y'all if you'd like me to.
If you would.
All right. Starting with Monday night, we have King and Queen's Quarters hosted by King Atterbury and Queen Simmons. Tuesday night, we have one of these shows by Mojave. This is why we call him Mr. Tuesday Night. It could be Fly Speaker, it could be Honey Drippers, it could be War Council. We never know, but it'll be something on Tuesday night. All right? As I just said, every Wednesday night, we have the Erotic Love Zone. Thursday night, we have the Get Down, which is hosted by J. Rob the Wise, Son, and Poetic. Friday night, we have, well, let's see, every other Friday night, we have Iron Sharpens Iron, and I co-host with Epiphany's own Anonymity, and that is from a Royal Pen's perspective. And we have also on Friday night, Renaissance Poetry, which is hosted by Keith Eric and Kimbrella Renee. And every other Saturday night, I am the host of Poetic Therapy. And that's a place where you can come and release some mental stress through some open mic poetry and some healthy conversation. And then we also have what we're having tonight, the Just Jay and Gina Thorne Show. Every Sunday night, we have the Inspiration Factory, which is hosted by another one of Epiphany's, Paul Sampson, a.k.a. Divine Inspiration, and Alfonso. Yeah, this is Alfonso. All right, ladies and gentlemen, back to you.
Please tell me you read that.
No.
She's time to hold a piece of paper
or something in my hand to read, and I got this little boy beating me up with this toy. No.
That's more ammunition for him to beat you with.
Oh, Lord. Yes, you are beating me up. He going to hold it close to him. So I'm like, he ain't did nothing.
We about to let y'all have y'all time now.
I'm about to
hey, take it easy on your grandma, boy. You know better than that.
I'm not trying to start nothing, but he is definitely your boss.
You know he's bullying us with the cuteness and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know it.
All right.
I love him.
Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Got to get down this queue. All right, let's bring in our favorite Canadian. Lady A, we appreciate your patience with us.
Oh, no, it's been a great show. My goodness. I do have a poem. Ooh, it's called ooh. I Remember Before.
If you have to get a preheat to that, you go. Hold on just a moment. If you have to do a preheat to that, you can go right ahead. Because we're going to move pretty straightforward with the commentary, and then we move it on to the next poet. With that being said, Lady Ada, mic is yours.
Thank you. I remember before, we are the danger, the destroyer, the selfish changer. Greed, the evil beast plagues man more and more his plan. Oceans and seas gag on garbage and plastic bags. Toxic testing kills unsuspecting human beings. Wicked men plan, scheme to rid the world of Western themes, chemicals, gases, I could kick their asses. Boom, you're dead, fascists. Poison dusts the world's surface and babies born without epidermis. Blisters, boils, nails that coil and malform mankind from food and soil. Labs create killer phosphates, and in the end we die prostrate, bacteria, diseases. Oh, how it pleases those waiting till hell freezes. To what end, I ask? I plead. We wait until we all bleed through ears and eyes, mouths and noses while you sit with black roses. Bigger, better guns and leather marching off to kill your brothers. Sabers and boots raping earth, stealing her loot. Marching across fields and plains and walking over the edge insane. We won, they won, we killed them all. Nothing gained, nothing at all. And peace.
This piece right here was like, it was like on an old 8mm movie reel, and it was going through, and it was talking about the processes that lead us to where we're at now. It also talks about the dissatisfaction of what we have here now. It talked about the abuses of it. I enjoyed this right here. Gina?
Thank you.
So I had a cousin who had a baby while we were still in high school. And to me, I felt like she didn't just let me down, but the entire generation. I had no words to use to articulate that, but this piece, I can't even tell you how I could associate the two. Lady A actually put into words the things that I was thinking the day that I found out that my cousin, who I thought was my sister, was going to become a mother. It was almost like it was surreal, and that's how this piece was presented and received by me. Nothing bad, it's not negative, but the reality is it was her reality. And sometimes you just have to meet people where they live, if that makes sense. And because I heard it the same way that I did when I found out my cousin Katrina was pregnant with her son, Timothy, almost 2 years before I had my daughter, Stephanie, was monumental for me in how I process things when it comes to family. So I want to thank you, Lady A, for putting that, you gave life to a feeling that I had. I don't know what else to say, but thank you, and I'm appreciative.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Mama Donna.
Yeah, I enjoyed that piece. I'm doing a lot of reflecting tonight when I'm listening to people's pieces, and I'm trying to connect to what you were trying to portray. So can you tell me peace mean to you?
What I'm sorry, what, I didn't hear the question.
What does that peace mean to you?
Well, it means, what it means is that I feel sometimes completely helpless to the situation that we're, our living condition throughout the world, and it's just more and more and more ugly. It's hard to pull out the beauty, even though there is beauty left. I think we have been our own worst enemy in destroying the beauty of what we have been given. It's a frustrating piece because I don't really believe that it's going to get any better. I want to believe that, but I don't. And there's so much that's gone on, all for the sake of money and greed, and there's no human equation here. It's all about money and greed, and they don't care what happens, whoever is in charge of everything, they don't care what happens to the human beings. And you know, I mean, this peace talks about, I mean, you
I
go
think
to
that's
China,
the nail right on the head. The ones that are in charge, they don't care. The ones that are in charge, they don't care. No, they're poor stewards.
You know, when I first heard this piece and what it brought up in me is it kind of went along with everything we discussed on today. You know, it went all over the place, but it went all over the place, but it touched everything, you know. and that's what your piece was for me, and that's why I needed to hear what this meant to you, because it meant the same to me. I felt the hopelessness of it all.
Yeah.
You know. And I needed to hear from you, the writer, if I was getting it right, because I didn't want to put a spin on it that was different from what it was. And that's what I was feeling.
You're absolutely right. And it's a frightening thing when we think about the world and where it's going, and everything that's happening today is just an accumulation of, you know, people say we learn by our mistakes. Well, the world hasn't, governments haven't.
Not now, because this world is going backwards. It's trying to go backwards. It's trying to go backwards. You're taking us back. I remember when Roe v. Wade was
Mother
Donna,
no humans and humanity.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
I remember when all these
say
different
again,
things
Donna.
Came
in
across.
Say Mama Donna.
Huh?
I was telling you to finish up what you were saying, because your head got cut off.
Yeah, I would say, I remember when Roe v. Wade was enacted, now that's gone away. You know, and the things are going backwards, and they keep going backwards, and they want to take us back, and they don't care. And when your leaders don't care, how do the people that elected them to lead care? How can they?
Well, we just have to look at Trump and the number of people that support him, and it's, to me, is insanity. Nothing but insanity. I don't mean to offend any Trump
supporters. Oh, I agree with you there. The apathy of the
right.
apathy
We're
of it all
also,
is what it makes
within
it hard.
The topic also.
Yes. So I thank you for that piece. I'm glad I listened to what you were feeling and what you were thinking when you wrote it, because that's what it first jumped out at me. It just feels like it's a lack of hope, this hopelessness there, you know. Is it going to get
thank
better?
So
Can
much.
It get
and
better?
Thank you. It's nice to meet you, too, and to share some moments together. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. It's nice meeting you as well.
Y'all have 90 seconds. If y'all are listening online, that's about to come to an end. You have to call 319-527-6300 to be in on the inside, because you guys are about to go bye-bye. 319-527-6300. Call that now if you want to come inside the studio. Then it will be extended for another hour. She just told me y'all have 60 seconds to give up the premises. Actually, after 60 seconds, everything is bonus. Anyways. Lady A, we appreciate you coming in. And that piece did have a lot of dystopian feel to it. I had forgot about that because I had listened to it all the way through, and I was going through with the changes. But in the very beginning, it did have a very dystopian feel to it. Appreciate you for bringing that in here.
Thank you so much.
All right. Do we have the charismatic one here? Daniel Charismatic. Automatic, charismatic. All right, my man. You got a few minutes. Go ahead and spit yourself a preheat if you need to, bro. And go ahead and do your piece. And then we'll go ahead and chop it up with you a little bit afterwards. The mic is yours, sir.
All right. The name of this freestyle is called These Words. My people, we are here today to see new life in these type of new words, these type of new words to change things. What to bring something kind of positive to erase the negative. something so powerful that we cannot be in the depression anymore. These are the type of words that I take. Responsibility, we have the ability to go ahead and make that change in every vicinity. These are the time, and these words speak upon, these words speak upon a nation, more love to an education. Therefore, I say of many black people that people will learn, we have to take turn to go ahead and teach. We shall meet, never be in defeat. And I will go ahead and show that receipt of how many black inventors been brought to us in these words. Do tell, oh well, we be like the ones that will not fail. We be like the dream that finally came true. We be like the by any means necessary. You feel that necessary to destroy the adversary. We be like that. Words of Marcus Garvey. These kind of words can you speak upon? Like so many words, so contagious, speaking power like Angela Davis. These are the type of words, Black Panther, the claws, taking the pulse. So heavy. If you're ready, I could be Kwame Ture. I could be words and words that just never go away. Put these type of words in our history books. Make sure they finally tell the truth. We had to regroup. We got that slave plantation education. Words to a whole new legislation. These words came upon. I became a teacher, African, bring like the red, black, and the green, and words that finally became seen upon the strength. Frederick Douglass showing the toughness. We, these words, the ancestor, all invited, and everything that I learned has ignited following the flames of these words. The sword of man carries back the lyrical engine until he gets in the Marlin pipe and dry.
This was dope, bro. I'm glad you hung around, man. I appreciate your patience, bro. You talked about more love to an education. You said the things that people should be doing is teaching, teach, go and meet, and you will bring the receipts. Oh, man, this is dope. Oh, well, we be the ones that cannot fail. So many words speaking like Angela Davis, and you start getting over into the Black Power movement of when people moved a little bit different. You talked about that you can be the words that never go away. You know, those ones that stay in the face, that stay in the mind. You talked about how we were enslaved by legislation. You talked about Frederick Douglass' words. Yeah, you went down through here, man. This was dope, charismatic. Gina.
Yes. Thank you.
Absolutely. He gave us a timeline for what it is that is expected of us, things that we have been doing and the things that we must, so that we understand and appreciate what it's like to be black in America. And I salute and appreciate all things like this because I always tell people, like, I'm not blackity black. I'm just black. But Automatic Charismatic is blackity black. He does not feel like any given time he needs to dial it back. And it's not like I'm dialing it purposely. But what I'm doing is making sure that people understand that I'm lots of things. Black is one of them. And as far as Larry is concerned, he feels like Automatic Charismatic is one of those people who feels like in order for him to say Viper and Drive, he has to actually have educated us. So I appreciate the ride.
Thank you. You know, one of the most powerful words to me, and we look at Dr. King, And he talked about, you know, boycotting companies, spend your money over there. Don't spend your money with Wonder Bread. Put your money over here. And Malcolm X, who taught you? But the one thing that really stood out to me is when Frederick Douglass said that, this is, when he said about the 4th of July, this is your day, this is not my day, this is your day, you celebrate this day while he mourns. He must mourn. And Frederick Douglass, to me, one of the most powerful people that ever had words that came out of his mouth, abolitionists. And when
yes,
you talk
sir.
About the 4th of July, I must mourn. This is your day. I must mourn.
And Charisma, you about to put on the clinic. Oh, we're kind of like pressed for time now.
I feel like KRS-One. You know what? Sometimes I feel like KRS-One, because KRS-One was like one of those rappers. He was
KRS-One. I like KRS-One too. You about
must
to have me run
learn.
That.
Yeah, the song like "You Must Learn." When they were trying to teach him all that wax shit in school, he said they weren't teaching my hair to tell me none of that. He said, that's how my poetry is.
I'm about to
you
have the Sandman go get you, Charismatic. Brother, we appreciate you for bringing in the work, man. It was educational too, man. It was dope.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Each one teach one.
Oh, it goes without saying. Everybody, we are 8 minutes into overtime. We're about to go ahead and close down shop. I see it's people in here that have not raised their hands. But we're about to go ahead and close down shop. We're going to go ahead and chop it up. We're going to give y'all about another 10 minutes. Within 10 minutes, if y'all haven't raised your hands, we about to leave the show. Y'all will not be holding us hostage. Raise your hands. Get on in here. Let's chop it up. Mama Donna, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing great. You know, I enjoyed you. I'm glad I was able to come through. You know, that was the first hour was just pure conversation. You know this, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the callers were coming in kind of slow, and like, there are people here, but they don't have their hand raised. It's
well, maybe
a,
they
but
like the banter. Maybe they like the conversation. Maybe they just wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
The people that don't come up.
If we put a thought in their mind, you know what? We did what we were supposed to do tonight. Right, Gina?
These real people that are sitting up here just sitting here listening. Yeah. And not that the poet's not, but a person that comes in and they're not hungering for the mic, they just want to come in and listen to the conversation, the banner going back and forth. Those
it's
are people
a real
that are just listening
day.
Without,
I love
without no compunction.
I don't have to be on the mic. I like to listen, too.
That part, Gina. Sometimes, you know what,
Gina?
It's the conversation. And even in the conversation, for all we know, the conversation could be giving people ideas of what to write for their next piece.
It could. I know there's times where I've been learning to sit down, and it's been helping me to go ahead and absorb the poetry more so than feeling like I got to be under the gun to deliver the poetry. I think that's another level of the game also.
I aspire to inspire.
Hey, that's a real thing.
I'm just glad to be part of the part of the process, you know. You know me. I know y'all getting ready to jump down my throat, but I'm a newbie still.
No, we're gonna let you have that.
You still locked and loaded. I don't care how young you are in the game. You got this.
That's like what Natasha did the other day. Shoot, you can have that if you want to have that. We already know what it is.
I haven't reached my 1 year anniversary. I'm still a newlywed in the game of poetry, so let me just have my moment, please. Thank you.
I'm about to shut down and we haven't even spit, y'all.
I was hoping you didn't notice.
Oh, see? Y'all want to be in the audience too.
Yes.
No, you can't be in the audience. Duh.
Well, that's the case, and I'll go first. I'm going to do the prompt
go first.
What Gina gave us over in the Small House of Poetry.
Oh, I love that one, Mama. With that being said, Donna, that's yours.
Wait, hold on, I got to pull it up, okay? But here we go. I'm in the middle of bathing my client. I rush to answer the phone knowing it's scam likely. These telemarketers are preying on the elderly, bombarding them with back-to-back robocalls. You pick up the phone and hear bloop, then a pre-recorded message. Same salutation spoken in a foreign accent, introducing themselves with the most generic names, speaking to the elderly like long-lost friends, listening to my client politely asking, may I help you, over and over again. Them not understanding it's a computer-generated scam likely. This is an easy formula, especially if they suffer from dementia. Trying to intercept the calls, trying not to lessen their independence, trying to protect their lifelong savings. These telephone calls are the worst. I would be remiss if I didn't talk about the constant charity requests. Save the children, pets, and the police benevolent society. Donald Trump and his latest grift is the biggest. Why are you paying a billionaire's lawyer bills? Another big scam likely for the elderly is AARP. I know you wonder why I say that. It's due in fact to the continuous mailers they send out to their members, reminding them to enroll, trying to attract them with enticing cheap gifts. I recall a client who kept sending money. I placed a call to AARP. Her membership was paid for 5 years. She was 100 years old. She would not live long enough to benefit. It is the small money enrollments and donations that affect their pockets. Then you have the constant flyers reaching into their homes, retirement and estate planning, inviting them to free dinners or trips to hear their pitch, emphasizing there is no obligation to buy their services. This is a scam likely. I hate the way capitalism is set up at the expense of the elderly. My strongest concern for scam likely is due in part to the fact I'm now part of the demographic. And that's the wisdom of Mama Donna.
You put your foot over in that joker. It left it in there. Scam likely.
Yep. That was a Gina prompt.
She gave me that same prompt, so I got to go ahead and write that in the prompt.
When people are harassing my moms, because they are almost 71 and 73. And I hate the fact that these telemarketers from foreign countries come on their lines, their cell phones and their landline, trying to scam them. And I'm from a suburb outside of Chicago, and I wish a nigga would. I fight. I mean, I don't know what everybody else do, but, you know, violence is my go-to. And maybe because my nickname is 187, that puts me in that position. But the reality is I don't want nobody taking advantage of the elderly. And I appreciate
it. And that's the hard part. You know, I've seen them, you know, having all these charities sending mailers after mailers, you know, save this pet, save this, save that, and everything like that. And then sometimes, even with the Trump thing, that's a lot of elderly people are caught up, you know, because they're trying to get back to Make America Great Again. You know what Make America Great Again is? We all know what that is. It's back to when we were subjugated to them and we had to listen to them and stuff like that. So they're living in their glory days. So they're trying to pump up Trump, but why are you paying a billionaire's lawyer fees? He got billions of dollars. That's what he tells everybody. So why you got
damn likely
scamming people out of their money?
Look at Jay.
Hey. You got the AARP. Yeah, you're supposed to,
definitely.
For the retirement people, huh?
So, Jay, not scam likely, scam definitely.
Okay. And then you got people like AARP, that's supposed to be for the retirement people. But they're sitting there sending you out mailers.
My God,
and you already have a record of who has paid their dues and who is already a member. You should be I keep getting one at least every month about signing up from AARP. I'm already signed up.
That part.
Damn likely.
Hey, that goes for these rascals that's running around in these streets over here trying to go ahead and run this little okey-doke game together. All that stuff scam likely from here on forward. Hence, Withers.
Bitcoins, all that stuff.
Shoot. Dude trying to pump your gas. Scam likely.
Okay.
I need some money to feed my kids.
I enjoyed that prompt, Tina. So that was a good one.
Thank you, Mama Donna. It had been, so I knew I wasn't alone in that.
Pretty soon, ain't nobody gonna be bothered by none of these scamming folks out here.
I hate when a stranger uses my government. You don't even know me. What?
Mm-hmm.
You calling me
hey,
by
ooh,
my
that's
you
don't
need
hey,
to know me.
Can I speak to such and such and act like they know you?
Right. They all comfortable
no.
with you.
They're calling
man.
Me Miss.
Or the best
now,
one.
Like,
or the
I
best
ain't
one.
Been a Mrs. since 2015, so I need to understand the math on that. Who you talking to?
Damn
not
likely.
Me.
No, but Gina, my favorite one.
Damn likely.
They're, sound,
I'm a
they're
miss.
Sounding like Akbar.
The miss.
They're sounding like Akbar with the name Bobby. What the hell?
Yeah.
I love that one.
You know,
right,
obviously you sound like you're calling from India. And what's your name, Michael? You know your doggone name ain't no Michael.
It's Muhammad.
Hey, I'm just waiting for one of them to say, my name is McGillicuddy. Like, no.
Hold on. My name is McLovin.
I am. All right. Let's go ahead and I'm going to do my thing.
All right, no. Mr. Jarrett, the mic is yours.
I got it right to that scam likely. I ain't even found it. I'm up here trying to figure out something to do. It's the craziest thing ever.
Oh, no, we ain't even
I
talking about
the
scam
telephone.
Likely. We were giving you the mic to do your piece. Go ahead and do your piece. Go ahead. Thank you.
That's
bye.
What I'm talking about. The chances of me having it right now is scam likely. All right. Oh, got to shoot him up, piece. Y'all doing profound pieces, though. Everybody ain't profound.
Mama, he's so basic.
Yeah, we know.
You know your mic is all open. And people can hear your inner
Well,
thoughts.
My mic is still on because I haven't
off
muted
mic.
It.
I took it off mute on purpose. Oh, yeah.
Damn likely.
This is my family, y'all. I picked these Negroes. We were not related by DNA. There's no damn involved. This is my folks.
And y'all take that with a grain of salt.
We have a spiritual DNA. We ain't worried about that one. Well, not the physical. We got the spiritual.
Mm-hmm. These are
no, Dana.
Go, DNA. Get busy. All right. I'm going to try this piece again. It kind of fell apart on me.
I think somebody is sitting up here trying to drag this out because you know he's going to have to close
he's struggling.
It.
Struggling. I know.
Trying to
yes,
close it.
They
and he's trying to close it before he
these
gets,
folks
he
ain't
going to
raise their hand. They just going to look at us. They don't care about what we're doing up in here. I'm just messing with y'all.
Well, so
that's
then you should
be
dragging your piece, finding your piece because I'm quite sure you always got one in your holster.
No. That's actually the myth and the legend. I got a piece now, though.
Let's go.
So I guess Gina, he was a legendary liar just then. Okay, thank you.
That part.
Piece fell apart on me. I tried to do it the other day. It fell apart. I'm going to try it again. Can I get the mic? Anybody?
Yeah, get yourself together, Jerry King. The mic is yours. Come on, Jay.
All right. Breathe. Breathe in and out. Breathing. It's not a luxury quickly or bountifully allotted to me during my recitations. There always seems to be a squeeze and a seize, a barrel under pressure, turbulent seas. I'm not reflecting the verbs in my word. First phasing the drift, breathe slow. Let the oxygen come in while the fire boiler, even expediently. So as the compulsion expands and bands a billion potentials that are complexity of exponentials, all pouring out of a hole that should carry the size of a trickle, a stream, but an ocean waiting to enter along its shoreline. Take in the wind. Slowly blow out. Breathe. You're alive. Feel the stress leave. Pull. I still need some work.
I feel like I just had a yoga class.
You know, I need to look at it
like
that
it was
as a breathing
class,
exercise.
You know, to breathe in, to breathe out, relax the muscles, expand your mind.
I need to do it in
and
that fashion.
I feel like I was just
right
in a
there.
Yoga class. Huh?
I'm gonna do this poem formatted towards something like that. I was trying to figure out a way to do it. The cadence has been feeling kind of raggedy to me.
No, it didn't. But you know what? If you got up there and you did it in such a way that it sounds like you're teaching a yoga class.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be the move on
that
one.
You know? That breathe in
and
slowly let it go and... Yeah, I can see that. But that's
you
what,
know
it,
what?
It,
by
it,
you doing
it transported
that, that, that
me to a
that,
yoga class.
That makes me know that I got to go through here and rewrite some areas to that then. So that's going to expand the poem already.
Yeah. I don't know
thank
what
you,
you
Mama
meant thought on that one, but that's how I felt. It felt like I was part of a yoga class, and you were the instructor, and you telling me to breathe and exhale and release, and I'm like, yeah, I can feel that.
Appreciate you.
No problem. Yeah. Don't let it get out too often that I complimented you on something. Okay, we just.
I know. It's on record.
Look, Mama,
put it on,
I feel bad
because
he's always saying, like, I don't support him, but that's my partner. He calls me cat lady and I call him big head. But the reality is my cat, even though she's a feline, does downward dog. She also rolls over. She plays dead and fetch. And there are so many things that she do that remind me of dogs that all I can say is, how'd I end up with a cat dog? I don't know. But I also ended up with Jerry King, so I don't know. But what I do know is they're both necessary in my day-to-day life. So yoga for me has always been not just a way to express myself and relax and stretch, but it's also therapeutic because sometimes it's hard for me to even move when I wake up. And if it wasn't for yoga, I would be stiff and stuck. So I need yoga like I need Luna and apparently like I need Jay. So here we are. Full circle.
Disingenuous. No.
Disingenuous is a word that you learned from me, Mr. Literacy.
I know. It's a big word. It's one of those words over five letters. Appreciate that. Does. I appreciate that though.
Yeah,
dope piece,
but
dope
I do
piece.
Love it here. That was awesome, and it made it easy for me to digest. Thank you.
Hey, we got one person left then, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We have Gina.
Yeah, that's crazy how that works.
So I was going to write something, and today was so hectic that I didn't, so this is going to be off the dome. I'm going to title my freestyle Desensitized.
All right, Miss Gina Storm, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Mama Donna. My grandchildren were on spring break, and they came to my house, and I could demonstrate no hate. It's all love. See, I am the Gigi because my oldest granddaughter gave that name to me. My daughter told my mother when she was a year old that she was going to call her Graham like the cracker. And she's done so for the last 31 years. And to me, that was amazing. But so many things along the way have shown me that we are as a race, as a people, as a family, become desensitized. I don't know how we ended up here, but I will surmise that the enemy has been busy. Satan is running rampant. The world that we live in is not the way that we'd like to have it. Unequivocally, I have found that there's so many things going on in day-to-day life that I have to just say this out loud. We become desensitized. It's gotten to the point where we are not shrieking, nor are we cringing when we see violence. We're not upset, nor are we feeling some type of way when we hear profanity. There's so much sex on TV, commercials, and all things that never had been previously that we actually just absorb it like it's the norm and not the way that it should never be. The reality is, I remember back in the day, they would pour a blue liquid on a surface and call it the pad that women use during their monthly, and now they're actually using something red that represents the blood that we lose from our bodies when our uterus is shed. And all I can say is, are they not thinking about this realistically? Is there no sensitivity? Are men making these ads and not women? Because I find it offensive, and I don't know if it's just me, but I'm not desensitized to the violence of video games on TV or the language that's been used, even when it's not cable. I am appalled by the fact that they're having commercials on the telly talking about ED and periods equally. I'm not in a place where I can receive these kind of messages on ads when I'm playing a game on social media. I applaud everyone who comes on. We play Words, Scrabble, Blaze, Blitz, the things we do that seem legit, and there are things in between about this deodorant that you can put on your privacy, your booty and your pits. What? I don't even know how we ended up here, but we are. And I am not desensitized to it. I am, however, feeling some type of way. I remember back in the day when my grandmother asked me if I was courting, and I started crying because I thought that that was something nasty, because I wasn't really sure what she was asking. But the reality is, I was saving myself for marriage. And I was so chaste that I felt like her conversation to my face was savage. And I wasn't desensitized by sexuality or intercourse or anything that today you can see readily on any app that you log into. You see I actually wanted my grandmother to realize and appreciate one thing for certain, two things for sure about me. I wasn't doing anything that would make me to be a bad girl. It was no desensitizing going on in my world. But I have three grandchildren, two of which are little girls. And the gentleman that I call sir, they're my prayers every day. Because I hope that this world doesn't make it okay for them to feel like this and that and such and other things that they're using as acronyms or their pronouns to make me cry. When my grandmother asked me if I was courting, I started to cry because I thought that she was asking me if I was a slut or some kind of loose girl. But that was just the language at the time that made me feel some kind of way. And I didn't know why desensitization has become so rapid that the children today are in my thoughts and my prayers every morning, night, and day. Because I don't know how they're going to end up. But all I can hope and believe and trust is that the village who helped raise me, that helped raise my daughter too, will help me raise the famous three and desensitized thinking. And that way of life will not be my family's legacy. In peace.
I so admired your ability to be able to do that off the dome. I did one little line and piece.
It wasn't hard because
I
can do is think about them. They're asleep. They're in the living room and they're sleeping right now. And all I can think is I do not want this to get on them.
I feel you on that. Me being a newly grandfather, yeah, I definitely feel that you want to keep them isolated from the stuff that even that the kids didn't get isolated from, the extra wisdom that you have as being a grandparent, as opposed to being like, okay, I'm just caring about me, all of a sudden I got a child. What am I supposed to do with all this? A lot of stimulus.
Absolutely, and then when your child has children, what do? You become a grandparent. Uh-oh.
Yeah, you try to ruin them.
Can either be an adult or a role model. And for me, I didn't feel like it was a choice. I have to be a role model. Thank you. Thank you, Mama Donna.
All right. Somebody has raised their hand. Let's go ahead and see what's crack-a-lacking on this end over here. Caller, who are you? Identify yourself.
This is Emilio Cavizzo.
Hell, I know that a broken slang anywhere.
Emilio.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Samosa. What's going on, y'all? Y'all be tripping up.
Break yourself.
What's going on with you, bro?
With the people tonight. What's up, y'all?
What it do, what it do. I took my socks off, too.
Uh-huh.
You getting on the
what
scold us about how the show been going, ain't you?
Who was it? Could you repeat that?
I said, you getting on us. You about to scold us about how the show been going tonight.
Hey, it's been going good, man. I thought it was going well, man. I love the banter, you know. The deep, intelligent conversation, you know. Hey, man, it gets no better than that, man. I'm sorry I was late, though, man. I overslept. I got a little lit earlier, and let my litness bear witness. But I'm here, and I heard, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Look,
I didn't get
the
right, man.
I'm Puerto Rican on the weekend. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. There you have it, you know. when I got off work, man, knowing I had the weekend off, you know, when the freedom bell rings.
Ooh,
man, I'm living like a slave with a bottle of E and J. I'm just saying, I ran like a slave free with a bottle of E and J. I'm trying to tell you, man, and it did something to me. It did something to me.
It snuck up on you from the sounds of it, sir.
Hold on, let me find out for real. Did you say E and J?
Yes, I did.
In my family, we call that Irk and Jerk. Let's go.
Yeah.
Well,
we call it that.
How you take it?
When you overdo it, it's irk and jerk.
I don't know nobody who can do it anything but overdo it.
I hate vomitations. I'm telling
but
you.
They be litty in my family.
Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing like vomitations on the weekend. I can't do it.
No.
Let's go.
I can't do it either.
Yeah, I can't do vomitation.
That's my least favorite part about all that.
We are too old. Mama say, mama say, mama.
Too old to be vomiting. That could be our last breath. You
wanna
know,
be starting something,
I
ain't
even
going.
You don't want to get fucking like that. Like, he's just a mess.
Look, when the toilet becomes your best friend, you know it's time to slow it down.
Yeah. Gina, that was a lovely piece you just did, girl. I don't know how you do it, but you do what you do, and you do it well.
Oh, let me say something to you, Larry. I do not want my grandchildren fucked up because I was not a good role model. So I haven't got myself together in the last 10 years, absolutely.
Yeah, because I knew you for about 12 and the other two that you was crazy as shit.
You know I was up to me, Rag, absolutely.
You was kind of crazy. You was kind of crazy, yeah. Hey, my brother, you that piece you did too, man. What's up with that?
Man, I'm going to go ahead and do that breathing technique with that piece, man, because I've been trying to figure out something to do with it. I know what I wrote, and every time I go to read it, I read it different. I'm like, no, I should be exploiting this right here. But if I have a plan, like Mama Donna has said, do it as a breathing instruction type of thing, and then I can go ahead and get crazy.
I promise you, it'll work.
Yeah. It was dope. You came off a little hype on it. It kind of hyped me up a little bit and made me think of, I wanted to search for one of my pieces that I used the word breathe in here and there. That's what it made me think of. And they may be correct. My thing is, when you write right, we all got like thousands of pieces. I'm just going to ask a question. We have a lot of pieces between us, right? Do you particularly remember the cadence in which you wrote your piece in when before you're going to read it? How do you get into your piece? How do you get into
you
your
know
piece
what,
when
bro?
You're starting to type it?
Certain ones, when I read it, man, it only reads one way. And I've read other people's poetry, and it make my eyes go a lot faster than what I would normally go ahead and do it. I think it'd be the writing that dictates that too as well, brother. But I've seen you take a love piece, and you're able to flip it and turn it into a hate piece. And it's the same piece, it's just you give different stresses in different places of the poem.
I swear.
Well, you know, with me, that's why I basically start my pieces off slow until I can feel it myself, because I can't remember what cadence I was using. But once
not with
I
all of them.
Right. But once I can feel exactly where I was going at emotionally, I ride off of the emotion of the piece, you know. And then I can remember where I was at, not place and time, but in my mind where I was at when I wrote the piece. You know, I just let it take, let the piece sweep me away. Or I try to. That's my attempt every time I do a piece. I try to get in it emotionally. Because sometimes we don't have that energy, that same energy to push that piece out. I'm thinking that when you speak of using a breathing technique, I'm not exactly sure what you may mean, because, you know, when me and you talk, I always talk to you about not being in that space, not being sometimes if I got to do a hype piece and I'm feeling down, my energy's not up like that. It's
right.
I have to push myself to get to that place so I can push those words out, so I can breathe properly to push that hype piece out and not make it soft, you know, not let it come
I
across.
I should be asking you that. I should be asking you the question that you asked me about, how do you get to that place, because that's more impactful on how you do your poetry than I do my poetry, because your poetry, you could be up in the rafters real easy doing your pieces, full lungs, and then diaphragm, and pulling to go ahead and get the end of that phrase out and the rest of that. How do you get to this place?
Yeah, like I was saying, I just start off slow, and I work with the buildup. I allow myself to become emotional, you know. Like even right now, I'm thinking like the piece I probably will do. I'm not sure if I have the proper energy that I would like to have in order to do this piece. But somehow I know I have to get to that point in order to make this piece really come across the way that I want it to come across.
I like that you just put that extra pressure on yourself too.
Yeah,
I do too. I promise you, that's everything. The fact that my grandchildren are asleep, and I did a piece about desensitized life, like today, 2023, and they're in a situation where don't nobody care about nothing. I feel bad for them, but trying to raise them the way that I was raised, their mom was raised, my mom was raised.
Mm-hmm.
Is the best thing that I can do. But when I hear you, Mike, for real, all I can think is you're going to bring us something from a perspective that's so different that it makes me say, Arsenio Hall voice. See, there we go. Come on, baby. I got you.
Desensitization. I heard y'all speaking about that. Desensitization today versus what we grew up with, and the things we kind of got used to, desensitized to. Today it's in abundance. You know, the things we see on TV, the things that become normal. You know, they try to make the norm. You remember that, you know, Jenny Jones, Jerry Springer, blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
all those
hell
shows.
Yeah.
We wasn't used to that shit. We wasn't used
Absolutely.
To hearing
it. It was
TV.
Brand new. We were riveted by it too, bro.
Maury, it was.
And you give me life.
Okay, and it became the norm after a while. And we became used to that, and it became fun. And now you have social, what do you call it, reality TV. It becomes normal.
Mm-hmm.
We become desensitized.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, to it. The showing of a black man laying in the street, dead, yellow chalk outlining in the street, post on Facebook. They don't allow certain things, but it's okay to have that shit in your inbox. That's propaganda. Okay? That's propaganda.
That makes
you desensitized to that shit. The sound of a gunshot going off. Nobody no longer ducks. We become desensitized to the sound of buck, buck, buck. Right?
I don't know
right.
the difference between fireworks and gunshots any longer. I just feel like they're the same thing.
Right. We become desensitized, man. You know, to these outcries. You know, they never heard outcries first and foremost. Okay,
right.
They still don't hear it, but they hear the sound of a dog's whimper when somebody abuses a dog. You feel me? But
right. Or a gorilla.
Where pets
okay.
mean more than people.
Any animal.
They'll
care for more of an animal than they will for us as human beings.
Any animal.
You know, they'll
anything
lock you up for longer.
Over us. somebody else's foreigners' cries. They hear those, but they don't hear us right here. They don't see our tears. So let me get into this, because I just made myself a little hype right there. This,
cool.
Geez, this is old.
I tell you what, let me go ahead and give you this mic then.
Give him the mic, Jay.
Thank
all right.
Gotcha.
This is a old
Gina Storm.
Let me
but
have
that
it.
Being said, for real, the CEO of Epiphany Radio, sir, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Jay. This world's mess. Expectations of equality. Been waiting patiently for centuries, but I ain't seen that shit yet. I thank God for that ox that pulled that plow instead of me. Pale was the face of those who spoke peace. Land was taken, sap sucked from every tree. The indigenous find themselves homeless in their own fucking country. This world's mess. Somebody flush a fucking toilet. Land formed by thieves, my country tis of thee, sweet land of who? Ran the Indians off of their land and took liberty of our women and killed every man. Sweet land of liberty of the I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims right, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. Bullshit. Bob your head to this. Take a strong pull on this knowledge. Inhale. Don't be afraid of this. See, there's this myth that somebody said, if you want to hide something from a black man, to put it in a book. That's bullshit. See, we've been writing hieroglyphics since before most people could spell it. And designing, building, inventing, creating shit. Finding better ways to do shit. We ourselves need to remember this. And bob our heads to this. See, we led the ways through safe passage on ships we built. Columbus ain't discover shit. He was just a midget. So stop teaching us this shit. People stop believing this shit. It wouldn't be a need for slavery if these motherfuckers wasn't lazy as shit. Got somebody else picking their cotton in fields they knew not how to attend to. All this shit they were new to. Oh, but some things they were good at. They knew how to manipulate you. Take what you own right from up under you. I see, Bell ain't invent nothing but to get over, to get paid off of the accomplishments of what another black man made. And it's still going on today. They walk right in. We drank the poison. We eat every distraction. We are more concerned with the reality we see on TV than the reality that these motherfuckers are murdering motherfuckers that look like me. And nobody feels the pain unless it's attached to your own family tree. Limb by limb they cutting, each branch they're killing. Seared souls, they have no feelings. They even killing children while cops get shot and dies as heroes. Hundreds of teddy bears mark our memorials. Dead in the street lay the many, many souls. But sides, both sides gets a funeral. One dies a nigger, the other's a cop, so he's a hero. Fuck that zero. A pig in a bulletproof blanket full of holes. Hello. There is still cornbread and chicken and a lot of cotton to be picking for some juggling watermelons, shucking and jiving, modern-day cooning, trying to be one of them, but one size fits all when you're hanging from a tree. Oh, say, can you see? Shut the fuck up. There are still places in America you can't travel at night or would want to be. Celebrities buying foreign Negro babies like they puppies while thousands of black babies in America go starving. Y'all starting shit overseas got us in your army dying or returning home and being reminded that here, nigga, you don't belong. You're just a darkie, a fucking monkey. But they can't see that all we ever wanted was peace and to be released from this modern-day slavery. You pissed all over my ancestry, and like cattle, you took hot metal and branded me. You took all my people from Africa and scattered us, and like Tarzan, you create this man, your image, and gave us your religion, and you want us to believe? Nigga, please. On TV, they show African children with big bellies. Huh? They show ghettos, but we know Zimbabwe, Kenya, and Soweto. You brought us to a place where we had no choice to be. Raped and robbed us from our heritage and from our cradle. Right out of the crib, you stole and sold our kids. Now today, here we go again. No more rope. But they are still lynching my people, though. You found a new way, so behind gates you enslaved by marking our men as felons, choked by the system, rights to vote revoked and shit. Anything with melanin is condemned and shit, while the government gives out kickbacks to these private-owned prisons if they don't fill them and shit. No more rope, but they still lynching us, though. So many hung, but still so many of us are straightening our hair and bleaching our skin and cooning buffoon acts to be like one of them. And at some point in time when their melanin can no longer hide them, they always come back and they fade right back to black, see. But God has a hand clap that'll slap you where you're turned to at, see. I'm at my apex. This is where I go ape at. Some people are comfortable with their reality, but the reality is that is not their reality. Excuse me for being judgmental, but there is some dysfunction in the mental capacity to make a motherfucker believe in the bullshit that they see on TV. Figure it out. It's make-believe. It's what society wants you to see. See, you see, when you no longer dream, they write this sheen just for you, telemade just for you, on TV screens just for you. While another one of us are dead by the hands of the red, white, and blue. And the reality is we're becoming desensitized by all this shit that we're seeing on TV. We are digressing while there is a purge and they're going from door to door while we like chimpanzees in front of the TV on all fours, screaming out, evolution, evolution, when we should be screaming out, revolution. Ain't that some shit? See, evolution is a change in heritable traits of biological populations over successive generations, and their religion is the bullshit that will take you further away from heaven. So they saying that soon every ape in all the zoos will snatch the keys and be free to move in at a tree near you. Yeah, they walk right in. We drank the poison. We ate every distraction. We are more concerned with the reality that we see on TV than the reality that these motherfuckers are murdering. Motherfuckers that look like you and me. And so lives on the epiphany that soon, one day, our people will be free from this world's mess. For real.
Damn.
That's
what I was
going to
say,
right Gita.
Now I
just
see why you need to work yourself up to that piece.
No, he had to go ahead and walk up gently to that one right there. Now, that wasn't no cakewalk for him. How you feeling, bro?
Out of breath.
Man. Bro, woo, let freedom ring bullshit.
I feel like the kid with ADD that didn't take their Ritalin. I like bright, shiny things as well as sugar. And that hit every high point and every low that I needed because I'm on the spectrum and nobody understands my struggle except people who are in my struggle.
Bro, you got in there with the let the freedom ring bullshit. And you had started talking about all these different things that black people do, man. And then you had said that we need to remember this. You know, with all the stuff that we trying to remember, the stats and the scores for all these people and from years ago and boxing matches and the rest of that, the things that you had read off. Oh, yeah. We definitely should be remembering those things. You said some things they... Wait a minute. Oh, the poison thing. You talked about all the different things that they had did and how they came in, but you had kind of put like the choice that, you know, we drink the poison. Maybe not for then, but definitely for now. You know, it's just not the same conditions, but we're choosing to drink the poison. The difference, you talked about the difference in funerals. You also talked about full of holes, hollows.
Hello.
Right. Oh, man. You talked about trying to be the best of them, but one size fits all when it comes to, that coffin.
Hanging from the tree. One size fits all, bro.
Yeah, you also talked about how they tried to go ahead and depict Africa, too, man. Falsely depict Africa.
They scattered us.
Yeah.
What is doing this? Brought us here, we just read it.
There's a lot to digest in here, bro. And when did you write this?
I believe that I wrote that. Let me see if it has a date because I can't remember. But that goes back maybe eight. Oh, wait a minute. That came out around the time where Michael Brown, right after Trayvon Martin. Yeah, that's when I, because before that I used to do all love and romantic spiritual pieces. That was my first go at consciousness when I wrote No More Rope. This came a little later on after No More Rope. So what was that, like 2015, 2016, something like that?
Have you done slam pieces up until before this?
Slam pieces? I've never done slam pieces.
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah, I've never done slam pieces.
I have go in a couple of times. I was about to the point where you got to step back from the microphone. Like, man, this dude is terrible.
I didn't know. Maybe if they were slam pieces, I didn't know. I've never really touched upon that consciously, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, never touched upon it consciously. So, you know. But, yeah.
And the reason why
I asked was
the energy was comparable to when I seen you like that.
Well, part of the reason why I add accent or I might go into different voices, it helps me to breathe, to be able to do those pieces in the way that I do them. Yeah.
Could you squeeze out that last bit of oxygen?
Yeah. So when you speak about breathing exercises, yeah, they definitely work, and they help you to move through your piece depending on how long it is.
I used to do things where I used to purge all the air out of my lungs before I did pieces. I think I need to get back to that. I think it allows you to be more open with it. You don't have to be as safe with it because you're going to make it to where you're going to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if you got to flip the voice over to go ahead and get that last bit out that corner of that lung.
Yeah, we'll try it out. We'll try it out. Let's do that. Let's try that out on occasion and let you do it regular, the way you just would do it normally, and then let you go in with it to see if it helps the piece. You know, I think most of the time the way you do your pieces, they're fine. That the last one that you did, though, yeah, I could see if you put a little more in at the way you started it, it'd be even harder. But I felt it, though.
Yeah, you heard that. I had jumped out there on it, and then I had pulled it way back. I pulled it too far back, and I felt the apprehension. I ain't catch up with it till about a little bit over halfway through the poem again.
Yeah, you know, I always look at it somewhat sort of like a rap beat. You wanna party up into that. We always look for that breakdown part in a record, right? That break beat where the change up,
mm-hmm.
and it goes off, and you get to do your best moves right in that part right there, and then it goes back to the original beat type of thing.
Right.
So I write like that.
My man, this is a clinic. Oh, we are over time.
Yes, we are.
Let me see.
Hey, thanks
this
for the mic,
all right,
bro. Thanks for the mic,
man. This is an honor you coming on because I know you haven't been. Yeah, we totally off there. We just talking now. Yeah, you haven't. Wait a minute. No, it seems like it's still going. Nope, no, we're not. Yeah, it was an honor for this to happen, man.
Hey, man, I appreciate it, man. You know, I'm just him. I told you before, man. He is him, and him is he. I'm just
yes,
a simple
sir.
Man. Just me, man.
That's what's up, brother. I appreciate you laying this name on me too, man. I'm filling the corners of the shoes in on it.
Yeah, it fits perfectly. You know, a lot of people know you by nothing else, man. I just, you know, you just Jay, man.
Yeah, I don't try to be spectacular or nothing like that. When I do, I normally get in trouble.
Yeah.
I used to think my wife would just be kidding about me clowning out in public. And that one.
Yeah.
She would have so much fun, and the people would have so much fun. So, you know, it's just something came natural.
Yeah. Hey, Blog Talk must be, something must be going on with Blog Talk for us to still be here right now.
That's a lot of grace going on. Good conversation,
yes,
though.
Man. Hey, man, it's a beautiful thing, like I said, man. I found something while I was talking to you that I don't even remember writing this thing, but I got to give it to you on another occasion. You got to remind me of that.
What about tonight?
Huh?
What about tonight? Because he jumped up
you
and grabbed one out to rap
okay.
this go around.
Hey, well,
you
look,
cool
man, I'm cool with it. This is an example of I don't know the cadence of this piece or nothing. I don't remember writing it. But let me do a little bit of this.
With that being said,
loud. Yeah.
For real. Sir.
Yes,
sir. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dear white people. Let me breathe. Let me breathe. I'm going to take my socks off. And I hope that you can smell my feet from the corner. They should stink because I've been walking in the shit that this government has left me with. But I get by. I ain't a killer. But don't push me. See, we can't protest in peace. We can't take a knee. Shit, we can't breathe. We can't breathe. We can't breathe. See, I was born with a stranglehold on me. Born into hatred in this society. With a pillow over my face smothering me. Still, I thrive. I still survived while the breath was being squeezed out of me. Whips of racism have been cutting through black skin. Although we were put on the front line of war's help. We helped to win. It didn't matter. They still gave us syphilis. This is how they thanked us in Tuskegee from Mississippi to the boroughs of New York City. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. They still lynching us with life-ending chokeholds, knees in the back that they would never apply to their own people. Life ends bloody for the black, selling rap tobacco. They commit mass murder, yet they get bulletproof protected and treated to Burger King, yo. I can't breathe. A black 12-year-old was shot dead for playing with a toy pistol. His mother is destroyed. She cries every day because her son can't breathe no more. No more fucking more. Her little black boy can't breathe no fucking more. Tyrone West can't breathe no more. Trayvon West can't breathe no more. Sandra Bland can't breathe no more. Let me breathe. Let me breathe. I'ma take my socks off, and I hope that you can smell my feet, huh? From the same corner where you sucked the oxygen from out of Eric Gardner, from Mississippi to the boroughs of New York City. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. In America, black breath is worthless in America. It's like every day it takes all of me to move forward in America. Like if I didn't believe in God, this whole thing would be over, America. Move after move and walk back and forth like a pawn across this chessboard placed in a place left vulnerable without any escape, evading the rook. Then the knight captured by the bishop wielding a butcher's knife. What a life. Everyday wars waged in America. Games played like pieces on a chessboard, always ending with checkmate. At the end of the day in America, we're all tired of playing these games. This is our life. World run by dummies pretending to be wise, making moves being made, none for the people's benefit. We live in poverty while the rich get paid in America. See, the axe forgets, but the tree remembers. Over 400 years of a bloody pasto. Invited to look back at the aftermath, I take a pasto. Grab my pistol, slap a orange motherfucker with my bicho. Use lowercase digits to make small of the races that sat at the Capitol. Make clay bricks out of horse shit and build the wall around it. From the White House to the outhouse with politics, I wipe my ass with it. Turds in pointed white robes running it like diarrhea running down legs of a constipated government full of shit. With grand plans of making this country great for all of them once again, for only them once again, to enslave all the Nubians, to wipe out all the melanin from sea to shining sea. America, America, God's played a prank on thee, devoid of good or brotherhood. I speak of all the shit that I've seen. America, America done took a shit on me. They brought us here over waters that were deeper. On a good ship, Jesus, they seized us. From overseas, they see us. They see us not as human beings, but as King Kong and Mighty Joe Young. That's bananas. But that's how they see us. Through this sea from shining sea, that view that is unseen by us in a land where justice is unjustly kept from just us. Will we ever overcome? When will we see where we be? Right here where we be, this sea from shining sea, this freedom, this emancipation proclamation. Oh, say can we see? Oh, say can we see? Oh, say can we see? America, America. There are thousands of black babies in America that are going starving. Y'all starting shit overseas, gotta send y'all army. Dying or returning home and being reminded, nigga, you don't belong. You're just a darkie or monkey, huh? You can't see that all we ever wanted was peace and to be released from this modern-day slavery. Pissed all over my ancestry, and like cattle, you took hot metal and branded me. You took all of my people from Africa and scattered us. And like Tarzan, you created this man, your image, and gave us your religion. And you want us to believe nigga, please. In peace.
That was a whole vibe, bro. That was a whole vibe. I was trying to see where the energy was going to be at as opposed to the other one. The energy was right up there. But this piece didn't cause for the type of energy that you had last go around too. Like even towards the end, you even kind of broke it down and slowed it down and almost made a plea. This is masterful, bro.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Gina?
I was on mute.
I'm sorry. I was on mute.
We live on the air now.
Because the wonderful thing about Larry Maddox is, for real, the poet will speak his truth. And he don't care if it's the popular opinion or if it goes against everything that everybody believes in. I'm actually going to call my brother, Dexter. Clarence Ferguson said that he was trying to get in queue, and they told him that there wasn't a show until apparently the Inspiration Factory tomorrow. So I'm going to call him up.
Because we're on overtime.
I love y'all. And I don't know, Jay did something when he set the show up, but that's okay. We're here, and we're doing what we do. We take the poet. And I thank and love you, because there would be no us if there was no Epiphany Radio.